Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
D1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Cotton Bowl quarterfinal tonight in Dallas. Number 2 Ohio State's a 9.5-point favorite over the 10th-ranked Miami Hurricanes. OSU leads the all-time series 3-2. Tonight's kickoff from AT&T Stadium is 7:30. You can hear the Cotton Bowl on the fan with coverage all day today. Ohio State's one of four Big Ten teams in action on New Year's Eve. The conference is 6-1 overall in bowl games this season. USC is the lone loser. The Trojans fell to TCU last night in the Alamo Bowl. The Horned Frogs won in overtime 30-27. Earlier in the evening Tuesday, Illinois knocked off Tennessee 30-28 in the Music City Bowl. In NFL news, Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs is being accused of assaulting a private chef at his residence in early December. Diggs is facing charges of assault and strangulation, which he denies. He'll be arraigned in January. The regular season wraps up this weekend. The Bengals host the Browns Sunday at 1. You can hear that game right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting.
Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure.
Bo Bishop,
a local sports media legend.
What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football.
A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach.
He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging.
And only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist.
Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser.
Act accordingly.
You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Got to tell you, I didn't know how I'd feel about all of this. You know, it's New Year's Eve. It's the first Friday. It's the first Friday heading into New Year's Eve. It's everything you'd ever want. You're not in the rhythm of college football at the moment, though. By God, we should be. But then you play the bells, baby, and I'm back and ready to go. Doing it live on a first Friday, New Year's Eve, Buckeye Game Day edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you here for the next three. Look, Ohio State has 990 all-time wins. That's good for second all-time. They've won at a rate of 73.7%. That's the best all-time winning percentage in the history of the sport. They got seven national titles, seven Heisman trophies, won by six different men, 97 consensus All-American, with that number continuing to grow exponentially by the year. Some of the greatest coaches who have ever coached this sport have coached here. Truly, some of the greatest have coached here. This is the program. It's NFLU. It's all of those things. There is one thing that is missing. This program's never won back-to-back national championships. That's it. That's the list. So this team and what they're embarking on tonight is a three-game chase for history. It's a three-game chase for immortality. It's a three-game, that's the team that won back-to-back. For guys like Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith and Sonny Styles and so many others who played key components on a team last year that had one of the greatest runs maybe in the history of the sport to win that improbable national championship a year ago, they can put their names down in history if they can close this thing out. The task is immense. The challenge, incredible. The idea that you'd have to go through Miami, probably Georgia, and then who knows comes out of the other side, whether it's Indiana, Oregon, Texas Tech. To me, those feel like the three that have certainly the chance. I'm not buying into Bama. That path to get it done, it will be earned in the biggest possible way. But at the end of that, if you do it, for a program where it is very difficult to say, well, that's never happened here before, you'll be able to say, well, we did something that's never happened here before. There is a list of things that have never been done here. It is very, very short. This is one of them. Ryan Day's aware of it. The key players on this team are aware of it. Certainly the fan base is aware of it. Standing in the way first is Miami. It's not lost on me that this is the biggest game the Miami Hurricanes have played since the last time you played them in a game like this, and that was in the national championship game in 2003 at the end of the 2002 season, a game in which Ohio State was incredible underdogs in the game. And ironically enough, probably for Jim Tressel at that time, if you go back at that time, it was necessary that they beat Miami to reach the top of the mountain because Miami had been there. Miami had been the program of the previous 15 years. And the questions that we ask now about Miami, are they back? Is the U back? I mean, Reese has had it as a bit for 10 years. Is the U back? Well, they can be back, much like Ohio State 20 odd years ago. Ohio State can be back, but standing in the way at that time was the football behemoth. Standing in the way of the Canes now is college football's behemoth. So for both programs, immense stakes tonight. The world will be watching, and away we go. I can't wait to see what this thing looks like on the field. I can't wait to talk about it over the next 3 hours, some of the matchups that benefit the Buckeyes and benefit the Canes. But don't for a second, amidst the eggnog and the champagne and all the other celebration that's going to happen today, let it get lost. The history that is at stake tonight for the Canes to truly be back, you've got to knock King Kong off the mountain. For the Buckeyes to begin their pursuit of something that is unprecedented around here, they will have to go through an old foe first, and that sets the stage for what should be, for all of us around here, a game we can't wait to see how it all transpires out on the field. Don't let the history get lost, fellas.
Yeah, this is a matchup tonight in the Cotton Bowl that like every generation can get excited about. Mm-hmm. You got traditional powers in Ohio State and Miami. You have the history with the 2003 national championship game. This is what the coaches say they coach at Ohio State for. This is what the players say they play at Ohio State for. This is what I would say why we do this job. Games like this, moments like this, or why we do this, why we love doing this. And for the fans, this is why you love the sport. It's these kind of moments that present themselves to you on what should be just celebrating the end of one year and the beginning of the other. Nah, to hell with all that. There's a Cotton Bowl quarterfinal that needs to be played because Ohio State is looking to repeat as national champions. And to your point about Miami, they're looking to rejoin national relevancy because that's been the most fun I've had doing this has been asking the question before every college football season, is the U back? And I look forward to eulogizing that tomorrow because they are in fact not back.
So I put the bells in, and I still got goosebumps. Like, I knew it was coming.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah.
And I still got goosebumps. Maybe part of that is because it's been 25 days, or it would have been 26 days, I guess, for us, since it was the day before the Big Ten championship game. Yeah. It's funny, Reese, that you mentioned games like this and why we do what we do. One of the reasons that I loved this business and getting into this was the 2002 national championship game against Miami and that Ohio State team and how improbable that run was and that season and that game. And Bo, you posted this morning on the Twitter machine the front page of the Columbus Dispatch the day after that national championship game. Yep. I still have that paper at home. I have that newspaper at home. It's been circulating on Twitter the past couple of days. Keith Jackson's open that game. Oh, my goodness. How could that game have not have been a classic after that? And Keith Jackson, that's like the soundtrack to my youth.
Sure it is.
Him and Dick Vitale and Musburger and Marty Brenneman. Like, those are the voices that I hear in my head when I think of pro sports. And it's just, I wanted this game to be Miami. I thought this game was going to be Miami. That game back then had such an impression on me. My best friend's brother is a Miami fan. So there's everything about this night tonight that I love with this matchup.
Yeah, it checks every single box, and it shouldn't be lost on everybody that if you take a look at the other side of it, you can understand. I mean, you guys were here at that time. I was in Florida at that time. There was no way that Ohio State team was beating Miami. None. I saw that Canes team two years previously. Nobody was beating them. Nobody. I want to say it was 14.5 point underdogs. Two plus scores. Ohio State, Miami in that Fiesta Bowl all those years ago. But when you look back on it, it was a passing of the torch is what it was. It was Miami passing the torch to Ohio State. We had a nice run. We won a bunch of national titles. It's your turn.
Did a lot of partying.
Yeah. It's your turn. And then the Buckeyes took it and ran with it. And Ohio State's won three national titles in the time since. And they're the favorite to do it again this year. So there's a lot of synergy with this game. There's a lot of in the fields with this game. On the field, this matchup is an intriguing one. That number is still a big one. It has stayed right around there, around 9.5 since it opened. I think it opened 10.5. So it went down a little, but it's been right in that 9.5, 10.5 range for the entire time. It hasn't moved much and it stayed right where it is. So that's a 2-score expected victory for the Buckeyes tonight. Can they do it? What is the roadmap for the Buckeyes to do it? We will get you set for that over the course of the next 3 hours, and we'll get you set for it all day right here on The Fan. Just keep it here. We got you covered as you're doing, running your errands, as you're doing your things, getting ready for your parties tonight. Just keep it locked right here. We're here till noon. Man and Timmy will go noon to 2, then 2 to 4, the KeyBank Fan Pregame Show with Maddie, DeVere, and Dane, and then 4 to 6, Central Ohio Toyota Dealers Tailgate Show with AR, Bids, and Joshua, and then 6 to 7:30, Ohio State Network Pregame Show live from AT&T Stadium. Go ahead, Beck.
And Bo, both the pregame and the tailgate show, like if you're at home hanging out and you want to watch those, you can find those on 10TV Plus as well. So
lovely.
If you don't have the radio in the house or some kind of streaming option, you can 10TV Plus it and get the pre and tailgate shows.
We got you covered, kids, as only we could. The other side of this one is an interesting one. All of the matchups that are coming on the day, on the New Year's Day games, and of course, kicking off tonight between the Buckeyes and the Canes, so much at stake for both programs. We're off and running on pretty damn good First Friday, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Toyota.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Pregnant people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Get your furnace.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Attack and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekdays starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Hello.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Happy New Year's Eve and go Bucks. We're going to see temperatures today get right around freezing, but with gusty winds, it'll feel even colder than that. We will see snow develop later this evening, which could impact your New Year's Eve and Buckeye Watch Party plans, so safe travels. We will see that snow eventually taper off overnight, turning cloudy with lows in the teens. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yeah, it's an opposites attract situation from 20, you know, I guess it'll be not almost 23 years ago to the day by the, or a little bit more by the time it all takes place, but you go back to that national championship game and what Miami was at that time. One of the things I forgot to mention in the symmetry of all of this is Miami was going for national back-to-back national titles that year. They hadn't lost in a long time. Earlier that season, they won in Tallahassee, which at that time really mattered. First time, I want to say Florida State had won like 50-some games in a row at home before losing to Miami that year. And you saw them up close and personal. And for Ohio State, they were King Kong. And now it's all inverted. And it's the other side of it. And you could, with so much conversation around the health of the sport, I could understand, and I think you've even seen this from some of the national pundits, it does feel like there are folks pulling for Miami. From the standpoint of, when you're Real Madrid, the only people who root for you are your supporters, the Madristas. That's it. Like, you're not going to have fans from anybody else. The rest of the college football world is rooting for Miami tonight. Couple of things. Number one, you just won the national championship last year. Number two, if Miami wins and an ACC team reaches the semifinals, and potentially even more than that, that would help the conferences that are not the Big Ten and the SEC. So there's no question Miami needs it more. Ohio State, it's about chasing history. It's also, I think, about once this team lost to Indiana in the Big Ten championship game, if you were thinking about the way that they were to be remembered, it does feel like a couple of wins here at least is required in order for it truly to be have that place. I don't know that it needs to win a national championship. That's rarefied air. But win a couple of games in this thing, and I think you're on to something. And I do think that this is an incredibly important game from the Ohio State perspective historically. But there's no doubt that for Miami, it's everything.
Yeah, you lose tonight for the Miami Hurricanes, everything kind of just resets.
I agree.
You kind of just go back to square one. You lose your defensive, Reuben Bain's going to be a top 10 pick. They've got Maoyoga on the offensive line that's going to be a top 20 pick. They're going to lose that core. They're going to lose Cart. They're going to have to do another portal backing situation, which I don't know if that's too sustainable. We keep doing this year to year, but it really injects doubt, more doubt, into whether or not Mario Cristobal is the guy. I think there are a lot of us that have our opinions kind of already set on him as a coach, sure, as a game manager. Not great, if you ask me, but I think it gets worse if he's not able to pull it off tonight against Ohio State.
I think all those are accurate.
Just think of this week.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just think of this week for them, too. What a beatdown that will be. You lose out on, and again, it's not until the lines are signed and the I's and dotted T's cross, but you lose out on the number one pass rusher in the country in 2027 to Ohio State.
Yeah.
You lose out the Freshman of the Year award to Ohio State, as Julian Sayin got the Sean Alexander Award yesterday over Malachi Toney. And then you lose on the field in the Cotton Bowl in a game. And, Bo, I know you've talked about you think this line, 9.5, is still decently high for this game. I don't think it's enough. I don't think it was ever enough.
Yeah, and I know that. Yeah.
And you could lose in a really embarrassing type fashion in this game. I don't know if it will be. But if Ohio State plays their best, I feel like this game isn't really close. I feel like it's a lot like the Tennessee game last year. So this could be a devastating week for this Miami program as far as just losses to Ohio State.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and the other side of it is it validates all of it. Validates all of it. If they spring the upset, it validates all of it. It validates what Cristobal's doing. You heard the comments from Jeremiah Smith earlier in this week, the question from Ari Wasserman, like, if Miami played more of these games, would you be a Cane? And he said, yeah, probably would have. How many of those conversations have they had in the last 20 years with players from South Florida? You be the one to bring the U back. How many? And the reality of that program is, and there aren't many like it, but there certainly is, they certainly are the one. If they just recruit Miami-Dade and Broward County alone, they can compete for national titles. If they could just put a fence around South Florida, you can win national titles. But they've never been able to do it. When they've been at their best, they have. They've kept those kids home. And also, they have benefited. The other gamble that they are trying to get to pay off is they were the first, one of the first, well, actually, probably technically the first to fully embrace NIL, because wasn't it the Cavenders who did the very first NIL?
Yeah, they had a, I think it was a protein endorsement, a protein powder
like a
endorsement.
Like a 1201?
And they popped it in Times Square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like the, and then they ended up at Miami. So they were the, they were one of the first programs, athletic departments that were like, oh, let's go. All this stuff that was Nevin Shapiro, all this stuff
it's
below
legal
the,
now?
Below deck. No problem. Now it's above board and away they go. But they aren't like Texas A&M. They aren't like Texas. They aren't like, they do not have a massive alumni base. They are, they have a couple of boosters that they have to lean on heavily to be able to make all of these things work. But they're selling the glamour of it. They're not selling, they're selling something totally different than the Ohio State experience. They're not selling 105,000. They're not selling history, tradition, pageantry. They're selling something very different. But it's an effective sales pitch if it's accompanied by winning. And when the Miami Hurricanes win in South Florida, they're bigger than the Heat. They're bigger than the Dolphins. They're bigger than Messi. If they win, they're that glamorous. Everybody down there jumps on the bandwagon as quick as can be. I know. I've seen it. I've seen it. Been on the field at the old Orange Bowl in the early 2000s when every celebrity in South Florida went to the Florida State-Miami game. I know what that looks like. And there's a juice that comes with that program when it's going like that. But it's been 20 years. And they need this one.
And if you don't win, South Beach is looking pretty nice.
Yeah, they
got stuff to do.
On to the next. On to the next. I mean, you can pivot quickly. They're not in it. In the way that it is up here. And we, and look, I get it. I get all of the things for it, but the amount of things that match up similarly to that game from 2023 or from 2003 is really quite astonishing when you cross reference it. The Cristobal part of it is interesting. They really feel like he is their guy. They really do. He played there. He deserves some credit for kind of resetting Oregon. After Willie Taggart and or that Oregon program had kind of slipped and Cristobal kind of understood, he'd come from Bama, he'd learned under Saban, he kind of understood like it starts on the two lines of scrimmage and then Lanning just kind of continued that. And he's done the same thing here. I mean, you've heard all week in the lead up to this game how Miami's better on the two lines of scrimmage, defensive line and offensive line. I'm not sure that that's true, but people are saying it. And that's how he built this program. Yeah, he's portaling his quarterbacks. He's landed some skill position guys. They fought like hell for Jeremiah, but they obviously landed one this year. And they have the skill position guys. But the first thing he did was we've got to be great in the lines of scrimmage. And if you go back to the reason they're in this thing, which was a victory over Notre Dame all the way back in week one, the reason that that happened is they bullied Notre Dame up front. They bullied a quarterback making his first start up front, and they confused. Now, Notre Dame still scored, but it was really in the trenches that they won that game. It's been a lot of games since then and to now. Can they do that against the Buckeyes? I think for Miami to have a chance, that's where it has to be, is it's got to be up front, and that's how they built the program.
And I think the question about if you'd rather have Ohio State's offensive line or Miami's offensive line, for the national perspective, I think goes to they've got a top 20 pick in the NFL draft, and Ohio State probably doesn't. Yeah. Ohio State's got NFL caliber offensive lineman, but they don't have Francis Maoyoga. And I was just looking at, you know, Miami's schedule is littered with they ain't played nobodies. They don't have a 1,000-yard rusher. And Malachi Toney was a couple yards short of 1,000 yards receiving. And so if you're playing a bunch of they ain't played nobodies and you don't have a 1,000-yard rusher, that tells me your offensive line, Now, Bo Jackson was over 1,000 yards rushing. And now I know for Ohio State's schedule, there's been a lot of they ain't played nobodies. But Ohio State, I believe, has acted more accordingly in they ain't played nobodies than Miami. So the line thing, I think people get obsessed with the names. not the performance.
And with the line, we always talk about Malioa. Their other tackle, Markel Bell, is pretty good, too. He's a monster. I think he's 6'9", like 370 pounds, and he doesn't look like a 370-pounder. But with that, those guys haven't faced Arvell Reese. They haven't faced Sonny Styles. They haven't faced Caleb Downs. They haven't faced Caden Curry, Kenyatta Jackson, Caden McDonald with that rush right up the middle. I'm really interested to see how Carson Beck deals with that. Because I think that's always the pass rush from the edge is always tough, but the pass rush straight up the gut is the worst for a quarterback. And how much that I don't know if Carson Beck has faced a defensive lineman at the tackle position like Caden McDonald that'll get in his face. And again, on the outside, I think the only guy they have that could possibly beat Ohio State is Tony. Tony's really, really good. But I don't know if any of those other guys out on the their weapons on the outside can hurt Ohio State. So it's going to be really interesting. I know Carson Beck has completed 74% of his passes this year. I have a feeling he's not going to do that tonight.
Well, didn't he throw 7 interceptions in their 2 losses?
I mean, he's terrible when you blitz him.
Yeah. And he's probably faced defensive linemen like McDonald, just not at Miami and not this year at Georgia.
It's been a minute. And he was wearing a different uniform.
Yeah, it has. There are so many things about this matchup that are fun. The coaching matchup is as well. You're going to hear from the 2 participants on that in 2 minutes. Ryan Day, Mario Cristobal coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Chip and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Buckeyes and Canes tonight in the Cotton Bowl, the quarterfinal of the college football playoff. They will kick it all off a little bit later on tonight for the 2 coaches chasing 2 very different things. Ryan Day, as we've articulated, chasing history, trying to be the first coach at Ohio State to win back-to-back national titles. To be able to do so, it's going to take a 3-game sprint that starts tonight with the Canes. For Mario Cristobal on the other side of things, he's trying to legitimize his alma mater back to what it once was at the time when he played there, certainly, and at the time when they were the model program in all of college football when it came to winning, when it came to swag, and all of the things that came to it. In order to get to that point and truly be back, they've got to knock off King Kong, and as it were tonight, King Kong is going to be wearing scarlet and gray. For Ryan Day, it'll be about chasing it. It'll be about learning from last year's playoff run. It'll about the impact and the lessons learned there. But this thing is all brand new. Here is Coach Day on the senior class and the last year's run and what they can take from it.
Well, we have a young team when you look at going into the season where we lost a lot of starts, going into the season. And so we all talked about the inexperience of this team, but then quickly realized that it was a mature team that grew into the role. And, you know, there are some experienced seniors that have played a lot of football, and I think they're the ones that have led the way and built confidence as the season has gone on. And, you know, they made it pretty clear 10 months ago they wanted to make history. And so it's all been a build to this point right here. We got to trust our training and all the work that we put in up to this point and go put it on the field. But, this is an opportunity. And we talk about it all the time that, you know, you've heard me say this before. The only way your story gets told is if you win. So all the work that goes in up to this point doesn't matter if you don't win the game. And these guys understand that's a sobering truth of college football and where we're at. But, you know, they had their mind set on this. And so, you know, here we are. We're in that moment right now.
It's a little different than last year in that you had the loss to Michigan. This year's team obviously beat Michigan, but lost in the Big Ten title game. I think had they won the Big Ten championship game, I don't know necessarily if what Ryan just said there would be absolutely true. I think you can look back fondly still on teams that beat Michigan and win the conference. I think that is still a barometer that there should be a great deal of pride of reaching, especially as this conference has expanded through the years and the challenges that come with it. But I do think he's right now. I think because of that loss to Indiana, you do need to have a little bit of a run here. I don't know if they have to win a national title to be looked back fondly. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But I also don't think you can flame out in the first round as 9.5-point favorites. So that's the pressure that's on the Buckeyes side of this thing is you are the is this still the biggest one? I was trying to or did Georgia pass it as the biggest line? I got it right here. That one got to 6. Yeah, this is the biggest number. This is still the biggest number that there is the 9.5 that you have tonight. So that's the thing that you got to battle a little bit is I do think this one you've got to get. I think there is some pressure on that. You win this one as massive favorites, and then you get to a semifinal against likely Georgia, and those are two of the more talented teams. Crazy things happen in those type of games. That all can be forgiven, but I think a loss tonight would be a bitter pill to swallow for a team that had spent most of the year ranked number one in the country. To lose its last two games to Indiana and Miami, it'd be tough to swallow.
Yeah, just for reference, Indiana is favored by 7 over Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite over Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. Oregon, just a 2.5-point favorite over Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. This would just continue a theme if it were to go the way of the Hurricanes tonight of Ohio State's most talented teams not getting the job done. Because you think about Arvel Reese, you think about the year that he's had, and you think about another year for Jeremiah Smith, while he won it last year, and while all these guys won it, have won the national championship, kind of the year that Arvel Reese breaks onto the scene, and you really get to appreciate him, at least from an Ohio State fan perspective, appreciate him playing his natural position, and the national perspective being about this dude's a really damn good football player, to have that not culminate. Julian Sain's first season, and you're going to get so much more football with these guys.
Yeah.
To have this kind of year not culminate in at least a national championship game appearance after that Big Ten title letdown would suck.
It's so weird to think, because we talked about yesterday, this wasn't a team that maybe was supposed to do this. You lost 8 starters on defense from last year, a brand new quarterback in Julian Sain, who would be starting for the first time as a redshirt freshman in college football. We didn't know it at the time when the season started, but a true freshman running back leading the way on this thing, and an offensive line that you just really weren't sure about, especially at the tackle position. But now that you're here, like at the beginning of the year, if you would have said this is where you were, you would have been ecstatic. But now that you're here, it's like, man, this is going to be a big letdown. And you mentioned it. I've talked about it a lot. I think this team this year is actually a more talented team than the one Ohio State had last year, but they cannot say they're a better team than that team last year if they lose tonight.
No, I think they probably are too. There are barriers you have to cross if you want to be remembered fondly. I mean, no one's ever going to forget Brutus doing Script Ohio in the snow at Michigan. Like, that's forever crystallized. You're always going to remember it. Ending that streak is something that is always going to be looked back fondly of. But there would also be this feeling of, because you have that loss to Indiana, did this team ever fully reach its potential? And I think that's the only hesitation I have tonight. I'm very confident that Ohio State will take care of business, but a lot of people have asked me, what do you think? What do you think? What are you going to think? And it feels like, for this team offensively all year, probably in part because of how great they've been defensively, this team has never had to shift into fifth gear. Never really did. It just kind of cruised down the turnpike and handled its business on the Autobahn. It never had to shift the Ferrari into fifth. It just stayed in fourth. In the Indiana game in the second half, I think we kind of wanted them to. I know I did. I was like, boy, a little tempo here, maybe. Let's have a little sense of urgency. And basically what happened was is they eliminated their sense of urgency. And because of that, they eliminated the clock and weren't able to, you know, complete that comeback. They didn't get enough opportunities because of the two red zone trips that came up empty handed. Do you see? I have this sense that this team was built for this type of game. It's in a dome. It's climate controlled. It's fast track. Next week is going to be in a dome, climate controlled, fast track. The following week, not climate controlled, but it's South Florida. This is what you built this team for. You built a football Ferrari to go run. Let's go. And I think that's the only thing for me is will we, last year, this is why, you know, in retrospect, people look back at the Tennessee result and they go, oh yeah, you could see, no one saw that coming. Stop it. Nobody knew how they would respond after that loss to Michigan. But what that loss to Michigan awoke into sleeping giant. And then away you go. And then we finally saw, like, oh, this was the Buckeye team we thought we would see. Will this one be the same? You're going to find out tonight. It's going to need to be the same this week. Absolutely. If you get through this one and you get to Georgia, it's going to need to be. And if you have those two healthy receivers in 4-17, well, that's an advantage I like. But I just the approach tonight is going to be fascinating. Like, you can't blame Ryan Day for having this fact in the back of his head. The most points this defense gave up all year was 16. That was to Illinois. That's the most. So is Miami going to do something? Is Miami's offense good enough that it's going to do something that hasn't been done all year? More than 16. And if so, if you're Ryan, are you saying, okay, fine, even if they get 20, all I got to get is 21? Or is the mentality tonight, let's get 49 if we can? Because if you watched Miami against Texas A&M from a couple of weeks ago, offensively, there ain't much there. And I know the wind was blowing, I get it, but there's not a whole lot to fear there. Malachi Toney's really good. The two backs are really good. The one got going in the game against Texas A&M, but A&M is not Ohio State defense, right? So what's the number that you got to do? So I think the approach for Ryan Day is very interesting. I think the approach for Mario Cristobal will be let it all hang out. I think Miami will let it all go. Whatever that is, whatever that looks like, I think you'll see it from them tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Miami part. And for Ryan Day, I think you can still do a little bit of a ramp up. Certainly tonight's approach can't be anything where you're, at least until the game is in hand, bleeding clock. I think it needs to be lighted up early. Like, if you're able to get the ball first, you can leave no doubt early, and then I think you can start to sit on this thing if it goes your way. Like, if you're able to, with those two healthy wide receivers, establish the kind of lead that you had against Tennessee and Oregon, because Miami's not coming back. Like, they're not a team that can chase an entire game against a team that's more talented. Now, if it's a similar talented team, like if it's Pittsburgh and they got down 14, yeah, they'd probably be able to chase that just fine with Toney, with a couple of big plays. But for Miami and Ohio State, if the Buckeyes can get the ball early, or when the Buckeyes do get the ball, this has to be a situation where you bury Miami.
Bo, I sure hope the thought going in is score 49.
Me too.
And not score 49 if we execute perfectly. If we do exactly what we're supposed to on these plays, they should work. And in the red zone, if everybody does their job, this is going to work. No. It's a mindset, right? And this Buckeyes team really hasn't had that mindset all year. They've been in that we've got 16 games to play mindset. Well, you don't have 16 games to play anymore. No. You've got three. So let's go ahead and let's try to score 49. Let's have that mindset. Now, if you lose with that mindset, it means you made a lot of mistakes. And I don't think this Ohio State team is a team that's made a ton of mistakes this year. So me personally, if I'm Ryan Day, I wouldn't worry about that. I love that mindset. If they go in with a score 49 mindset, I don't think this game's close at all.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I just don't know if you're going to see it. I hope that you do. We'll find out. It's going to be a fun one tonight. The Jackets back at home tonight, usually one of the ones we really, really look forward to, that New Year's Eve game. They will play tonight at Nationwide. A little bit of Shelly time coming your way next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. Just freak the hell out of someone. The Fan.
All new.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Hey, it's Berm here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan.
The gloves.
It's Shelly time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards. Experience collecting in a whole new way.
We got a lot of catching up to do, buddy. Merry Christmas.
Hey, how you been?
Happy New Year. Do you have an enjoyable little break? Nice, jolly old St. Nick treat you and the family, right?
Yeah.
St. Nick was, you know, I was on the nice list this year, so it was changed.
You fooled him again.
I know. It's crazy. He's so generous.
He really is.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since we've chatted.
It has, buddy. Before we get into tonight and this nice little stretch of good play, what were your favorite New Year's Eve traditions as a kid, as a player? I got to imagine, like, if you get the New Year's Eve player, that's got to be about as fun as it gets.
Oh, I mean, my first year there was an establishment called Black and Blue at Nationwide Arena. Mm-hmm. And I remember finishing the game and putting the old pop hat on. And going next door, and Ned and Doreen, my parents were in town, and they still talk about it because it was so much fun. What a setup. Right from the locker room, right out the back door, right up to the stairs, and then a great seat and good food. That was a good one.
But as a kid, hold on a second. Like, you play the game, you put on the top hat, and you just go up. I'm not familiar with this establishment. It was called Black and Blue?
Yes. You missed it, huh?
I missed it, man.
It was right at the end. Yeah, it was a great spot. Kind of upstairs. I think it was upstairs where the fan zone is now. Oh. In that area. And then back where Tim Hortons is now in the offices.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Attached to the building.
God, that's great.
So good. No white limos required. It was perfect.
Just walk right up. Nothing to see here, kids. Just Mr. Shelley in a top hat. Hey, man, this team's won three in a row. You needed to because we had a bunch of stretches where it went the other way, and eventually you have to have one of these go your way, and they're playing well right now. They're doing it without Zach, which is remarkable. What's been different in this stretch of games versus the previous group?
Just more consistency in their battle. Guys are getting put in now different situations and, you know, it's something they can do in short term, I think. And they're playing hard. Like, this team always plays hard. Mm-hmm. And, just seems like that, you know, Marchenko's come to life since Marchment's got here. That little bit of a flavor, that picking up a veteran guy who seems to be fitting in extremely well, on a line with Fantilli and Marchenko, that's a big deal. That was a good move by Don Waddell to pick up a guy like that that's now provided a spark, kind of slotted people in different areas. And, you know, even having a guy like Chinnikov around who demanded a trade and in and out of the lineup, you know, that is settled now. So these are all improvements in little ways, but big deals in the locker room in my mind. But if I'm going to answer your question, it's goaltending. It's getting Marchman in there and getting a spark from Marchenko and Fantilli. And then it's other guys stepping up on the back end. Really impressive the way the back end is played. Everyone's kind of out of their comfort zone a little bit, but in a great way. They're earning what they're doing.
They haven't lost since Marchment came in, and he scored a point, two goals first time out. He's points in the last two. You and I have not talked since they acquired him. What do you like about his game, and what message did that send to the room with the acquisition?
Well, they just needed to get – they were in a bit of a rut. So they needed something to change. He brings size. He's got a unique ability with his skill. Like, he's a better passer than you'd think. And you watch him. He's scrappy. He's up and down on the ice. Like, he'll fall down, you know, five times in a shift, but he gets it done. It's not pretty all the time, but he gets it done. He's got a will to do it. And he's one of the biggest pests in the NHL. I mean, there are players that hate him.
Yeah.
And I think the combination of him, I had someone say to me the other day, well, if he's going to play that way, he's going to have to stand up for himself. And I was like, he's got Matthew Olivier riding shotgun. Like, this could be a good combination. So we'll see how this ends up. But if they get on the, you know, that's a great tandem if you look at that.
Yes, it is. It very much is. You mentioned the Chinnikov deal. You hate to trade a first round pick. It seemed like they got good value for him.
Yeah, they did.
You know, so I guess you got to do what you got to do there. I hate trading him to Pittsburgh just because I don't need to watch it if it goes really well over there. What did you make of that whole situation and how it ended up that way?
Well, he's a top six guy, and that's what he thinks he is. And he wasn't really bought into the bottom six playing. You know, he wants to be on the power play, and he wants more opportunity. And I thought they did a good job of picking up great assets. You know, a second-round pick in 2026, this is a good draft coming up. and then a third and 27. And Heinen is a, you know, a serviceable. He could be a serviceable player or a, another piece in a in a in a bigger move. So I like it. I like Yegor Chiankov. I was hoping he would stay healthy and come back this year and explode, but he didn't do that. So I wish him the best. I hope he plays well over there. But like I you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He's not going to affect the Blue Jackets. You know what I mean? I don't think. I say that, watch him score a goal that means something against us.
I don't need him being on the other end of a Crosby pass that wins a game at Nationwide, buddy. Yeah. I don't need that.
Play one time shot.
I don't need that. Whoops. None of us need that.
No.
This is a big one tonight in that this is a team that's directly ahead of you in the standings. You've won three in a row. Obviously there's a lot of juice in the building for a New Year's Eve game, but also the fact of when you dig a hole, you got to start beating the teams that are directly ahead of you. And that's what you get tonight with the Devils.
Well, and it's a metropolitan division. Listen, everybody is ahead of the Blue Jackets, just ahead of the Blue Jackets.
Yep, right.
They're 4 points out. I mean, this is, and they're at the bottom of the list right now. So, you know, and they've just won three in a row. So that's the Eastern Conference. They're 5 points out of a playoff spot. And they're right. Yep. It's crazy. So, yeah, you know, everybody's winning, but this is important, yeah. You got the Devils, they were on a tear, but now they've fallen off, and this is the way it goes the other side. You lose three in a row, you're out of the playoffs. So for the Blue Jackets, they're hot. They want it. Listen, they did a great job against the Devils. We thought that was a pivotal game, remember, when they had four fights and
yep.
come from behind victory. And, you know, they're calling it fight night today because Buster Douglas is lighting the cannon.
There we go.
And Olivier... Yeah, there's a great video of him and Olivia together, and all those scraps, do they boil over into another fun night tonight with some fireworks? Because remember, their coach had a couple comments after the game that he didn't like Voronkov's, he didn't think that was fair on Dylan. So we'll see how that boils over. But I expect this to be a wild night at Nationwide.
Pretty spirited, to say the least. I'll get you out of here on this one. Who's your pick to click tonight on the New Year's Eve game?
I'm going to say Matthew Olivier. I'm going to call it his night. If they're going to call it fight night, let's see Matthew Olivier score a goal here tonight.
I like it. I like the symmetry of that.
See where we're going?
Yeah, I do. I like where your head's at on all of this. That'll be entertaining, to say the least. Happy New Year to you and yours, buddy. It's great talking to you again. We'll do it again soon.
All right, Paul. Yeah, Happy New Year, man. Thanks for everything this year, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. There goes a little bit of Shelly time. Jackets and Devils tonight at Nationwide. Second hour of the program coming up next. We kick it off with a little higher, lower college football coaching carousel rankings. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Make this your...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the sixth time all time, Ohio State and Miami will meet on the football field. The Buckeyes are 9.5-point favorites over the Hurricanes in tonight's Cotton Bowl quarterfinal. Kickoff from Dallas is 7:30. We'll have live fan pregame coverage all day long, leading into network coverage at 6. Ohio State's one of four Big Ten teams in action on New Year's Eve. Coming up at noon, number 23 Iowa battles 14th-ranked Vanderbilt in the ReliaQuest Bowl. At 3 p.m., Biff, Pogge, and Michigan take on Texas in the Citrus Bowl. The Big Ten enters the day 6-1 in bowl games. In college hoops, the 19th-ranked Ohio State women's squad is at Purdue today at 12:30. Neil Sika will have the call with coverage at 12:15 over on the Fan 2. That's 1460 on the AM dial. Our proper preparations for the Cotton Bowl continue as ESPN's Jake Trotter will join us live from Dallas in about 30 minutes right here on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. Second hour of the program. Buckeyes and Canes tonight down in Big D. Jake Trotter coming up in 29 minutes to help get us set for that. Between now and then, time for a little higher, lower. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the Waterworks and Header Heating and Cooling today at 614-232-2222 or visit online at thewaterworks.com.
There have been 32 college coaching changes, easy for me to say, in the college coaching carousel this cycle. USA Today, the good folks that they are, went and ranked them.
Hold on. 32?
32.
That is insane.
It's a big number.
Like, I don't know. Obviously, we'd have to go back and look at this, but I can't believe there's been another season where we've had 32 head coaching changes.
It's a lot. The other thing that's interesting about it is you hear people cry poor all the time, but that means a lot of buyouts were paid.
A lot of buyouts were paid.
So these rankings are courtesy of Paul Meyerberg, who writes for USA Today. Do we want to start with 32, or do we want to start with number one?
Well, I think we have to. You probably better start at the top.
Yeah, some of these in the late 20s and early 30s, you've heard of the school. You might not have heard of the person, although Chris Mortensen's kid makes an appearance. We'll start at number one, James Franklin and Virginia Tech. Can't go any higher than number one, but higher or lower for Franklin and the Hokies?
I actually think this might be exactly right. Just from the standpoint of, I think James Franklin is almost fail-proof so long as your objective is not the ultimate prize. I just see no scenario where he fails there. Now, what does success look like there? Is it, you know, Frank Beamer and the Vic brothers running around? If you're trying to track that down, then that's probably not attainable. But if you're looking to get back to respectability, if you're looking to get back to trying to punch at your own weight in the ACC with, you know, whoever's atop that league now, SMU and Miami and those type of programs, then I think he can do that. I think he'll go win 9 games there, sometimes 10. And that for them, that's probably the Super Bowl. So I think this is one where right guy, right place, right time. And I do think that he's not going to have the ultimate success, but he's going to stabilize them in a big way.
I'm right there with you on everything about this Franklin hire. I think he'll get Virginia Tech back into the national prominence scene. Are they going to win a national championship? No, I don't think so. But he'll get them into the college football playoff. He'll have them 10-2 and 9-3 every year. Probably even sneak in an 11-1 or maybe in the ACC, the way it's trending, an undefeated season.
Yeah.
I would have Franklin one spot lower because I think the Pat Fitzgerald hire at Michigan State is a home run. And I think I would have that above this one, but I think Franklin's right there near the top.
At number two on this list is Lane Kiffin and LSU. Higher or lower for Hot Yoga and Baton Rouge?
I mean, this one's my favorite because I'm a fan of interesting over everything else. And him at a place like this is everything you want. Like, the amount of headlines. Like, if you're Feinbaum and LSU goes Brian Kelly into Lane Kiffin, it's Christmas morning all over again. I mean, it's as big a home run as can be. He's going to troll everybody. He's going to troll Alabama. He's going to troll Florida. Do I know for certain that he's going to win there at a high level? No, I don't. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he's a really good offensive coach. Historically, he hasn't always won the biggest games. Now, this year, ironically enough, he did at Ole Miss. He's going to have their incredible reach and pocketbook. So I do think the marriage of him to LSU is probably as good a job as he could have gotten coming from Ole Miss. It's probably the best possible circumstances for him. But I think that this is I would have this one lower than Franklin. I see no scenario where James Franklin does not achieve a minimum amount of success at Virginia Tech that leaves that fan base happy. I could see Kiffin blowing up in LSU's face. I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see it blowing up in his face.
And for that reason there, I can't have it at number two. I like the hire for LSU. I don't know, though. For LSU, this is a we've got to win national championships.
Yes.
And I don't know if that can happen with Kiffin. And there is that risk that this goes really, really poorly.
Yes.
And a guy like Lane Kiffin, when it goes poorly, I think that makes it even more poor. So I think this... I think this is probably a top five. If it's not, it's just outside. But number two is a little too high for me.
Again, USA Today ranked all 32 college football coaching changes this cycle. We did numbers one and two with James Franklin at Virginia Tech, Lane Kiffin at LSU, respectively. At three, Kyle Whittingham, Michigan. Four, John Summerall at Florida. Five, Bob Chesney at UCLA. Six, Matt Campbell, Penn State. Seven, Pat Fitzgerald, Michigan State. Eight, Charles Huff at Memphis. Nine, Billy Napier at James Madison. Hire or lower for Napier at JMU.
Good grief. Huh? I can't speak on that at all. I have no idea if that is. Here's one I will say, though. Pat Fitzgerald should be way higher. You have it number one. I would have as a top three hire. I see no scenario where he doesn't work there. Plus, in addition of hiring Pat, they have three billionaire boosters, three separate billionaire boosters. So if Michigan State wants to get in the paying players world, they can get in it as big as anybody in the Big Ten and go nuts. So I think he's got to go way up on that. I'm fine with Campbell where it is. I think Whittingham is way too high, and I love him. I think he's an incredible coach, but there's no way it's the third best coaching hire on this thing. In fact, I would argue that they might have been better off with Campbell than Whittingham just because of the age part of it and the fact that Campbell wanted that job so desperately for all of these years. The one in here that I think is also a really good hire is Bob Chesney at UCLA. I think that dude can coach it, and I think that's a really good hire for UCLA, which is a tough job. I think if Penn State would have been more organized early, they could have ended up with Chesney, and that would have been better off than what they got all around. Because he had ties to PA.
The question was Napier, and I think that's pretty close. I would have it right around 10. It didn't work for him at Florida, but I still think he's a pretty good coach, and I think he'll do fine at James Madison. There's a lot in here that we talked about. I think Matt Campbell has to drop a little bit, personally, because just the whole way that went with Penn State. They jumped out in front of everything, and they never got their first choice. I like the Chesney hire at UCLA. I would definitely have that over Summerall. The other guy in here is Charles Huff. He did pretty good at Marshall, and then he did well at Southern Miss. I think he's going to do good at Memphis and keep them right where they are, maybe a little better. I like that hire a lot. And the Whittingham one, I think I would have that right around top five just because I think it's bust-proof. It's not for a long time.
That's
but he's going to stabilize Michigan, and they're not going to fall off the cliff. So I think that is important.
Can you imagine him talking to Bryce Underwood?
No.
I mean, can you imagine that conversation?
Didn't they meet for some time?
I'm sure he's tried to meet with everybody, but like, I don't understand how that goes. Like, that just doesn't seem like those two row in the same direction in any way.
Maybe not personally, but in football, I think they might because he's of a spread to run it team guy, and that's what Underwood is at quarterback. So
yeah,
I just don't know if he's going to be able to tell him to lower his shoulder and take some hits. We'll continue on this list at number 10, Eric Morris, Oklahoma State. 11, Jason Candle, UConn. 12, former UConn coach Jim Mora, Colorado State. Blake Anderson, Southern Mississippi. Colin Klein, Kansas State. Neil Brown, North Texas. At number 16, Alex Golish, Auburn. Higher or lower for Golish there?
That's a tough job. That's a really tough job. I'm rooting for him. He's a local kid, done right, and I hope that it works out. Really impressive at South Florida. The Auburn job is a tough job because they have resources. They believe they're entitled to Alabama. That they really believe it. They believe that they're entitled to exactly what Alabama is. It's just the standard there is so difficult. But he was great at USF. I think it probably deserves to be a little higher. There's some fish out of water stuff there for sure. But I would probably have that one a little bit higher.
I would have this one a little bit higher too, probably close to the top 10. Just doing some research on Alex Golish this year after hearing the story. Seems like this guy just overcomes the odds everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's successful and makes it work. I think this is a really, really good hire for Auburn. There's a couple in there. I love the Jim Mora to Colorado State hire. I think that's really good for Colorado State, especially where they play their football. I think that's going to be really good for them. And I don't understand the Jason Candle move from Toledo to UConn. That seems like a lateral or maybe even reverse move. I don't get that. He's a good coach. I scratch my head at that.
Always a lot of rumors that he was going to go be like a coordinator at a place like Ohio State or Michigan, because sometimes at the MAC level you can't get that next thing. But I didn't understand that one. We don't have time to get to it, but Heartline's well down this list, Reese. I'll tell you another one I really like. I think Will Stein at Kentucky is a nice fit. I like that hire a lot for them. Young guy, had a lot of energy. Where's Heartline on this list, Reese?
So Heartline's 24th. He's just ahead of Tosh Lupoi, who's California's new head coach. And then you had Will Stein at Kentucky. So two Auburn coordinators, obviously, or two Oregon coordinators, I should say. Will Stein at Kentucky, 22nd.
Yeah, I think Lupoi at Cal's good. I forgot he played there. But that's a guy who learned at the feet of Saban and Lanning. And again, there is some private money there if they want to splash it around a little bit. So, you know, something to watch for there. Pete Golding is 26th. On this thing. Do you guys follow this at all? Like the accusations? There are six coaches from LSU that are coaching Ole Miss. There was a story yesterday, I want to say Ross Dellinger and Yahoo, about worried about tampering and all of these things. Like Kiffin and the governor are going to the Ole Miss game, the governor of Louisiana. I mean, this is just nuts what's going on down there. Absolutely.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
God, just craziness.
Like Lane's going to leave Ole Miss. Yep, that happened. He's going to try to burn it to the ground on his way out. Yep, looks like that's happening.
That's who he is, isn't it? It's just crazy. Who will the Buckeyes be when they have the football? We hope they shift the football for Rory into fifth gear tonight. The man at the controls of that will be Julian Sand. You'll hear from him, and also you'll hear from Mario Cristobal on his task of slowing down the Buckeye Heisman finalist quarterback. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Would you enjoy?
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Happy New Year's Eve and go Bucks. We're going to see temperatures today get right around freezing, but with gusty winds, it'll feel even colder than that. We will see snow develop later this evening, which could impact your New Year's Eve and Buckeye watch party plan, so safe travels. We will see that snow eventually taper off overnight, turning cloudy with lows in the teens. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly sponsored by great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Do like I do, shop at Diamond Cellar, the blonde quite happy on Christmas morning, thanks to my good friends there. All right, let's do the side of the matchup when the Buckeyes have the ball. This is the thing that we believe. I mean, you go back to conversations we had in July, and you looked at the way that this roster was put together, and you said, okay, this is a football Ferrari. This is what they have. They have this incredible weaponry on the outside. They have a quarterback who is essentially a video game simulation when it comes to accuracy. They don't have, certainly if you go back to then, we weren't sure exactly who was going to tote it. And was there going to be a run game component that was going to be something you could rely upon? Eventually we got to a point where it was, and it was Bo Jackson, and you were able to find it. But a win tonight most assuredly will come on the arm of Julian Sain and on the hands of Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. And if that is the recipe for the Buckeyes, it's hard to imagine a scenario where it doesn't end with a victory, because this is the strength of this team, their ability to throw the ball down the field, get it out quick, get it out accurately, and letting those playmakers eat. Ryan Day will be back in charge of calling the offense as he takes over play calling. Here's his quarterback on what that will impact.
Yeah, I don't think it's affected me too much. You know, he's obviously very involved in the offense before, and you know, he's very involved in the quarterback room. So, you know, just we have a ton of trust in all of our coaches, and I think it's just it's been great.
Here's Julian on the two wide receivers who are the best in all of America.
Yeah, have a really good receiver room here, but you know, those guys, you know, Jeremiah, really big target, fast, makes some great plays, really good jump ball guy, and you know, really runs really good routes and really just an all around great player. And then Carnell runs really good routes, blocks really well, a great hand. So I think just, you know, both those guys do a lot of things really well, and you know, it's very helpful as a quarterback.
For Jeremiah, this one pretty personal. It came down to Miami and Ohio State for his signature. It was a decision that went into the night on signing day before it officially was official. He became a Buckeye. It was one of those things that Mario Cristobal really circled as, man, if we could get this guy, and the Buckeyes did. There's been a lot of back and forth between Jeremiah and the fan base, some of the players this week. Here is Jeremiah on the idea of facing his hometown team.
You would say that's a little bit emotion. I'm from Miami. I grew up in Miami, from Miami Gardens. So yeah, you could say it's a little bit emotional going against my hometown team. So yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm happy for them guys to be here, and me playing against them is truly, look back, you know, 10 years from now, I'll be looking at this game, watching, be like, yeah, I play against my hometown team, and you know, whatever I do on New Year's Eve, I'm gonna be, you know, looking at it 10 years from now. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on, I want to say it was Monday's show about the Jeremiah's, or Tuesday's show. We talked a little bit about this with Jeremiah and how he was such a kind of in the center of all of this and the sliding doors moment of it. Let's hear from Cristobal on that. I want to hear from Mario on a couple of things. He'll talk about Julian in a second, but let's start on the losing that recruiting battle to Jeremiah.
Obviously, he's a great player, an elite player, elite family, and that comes with recruiting. And certainly whenever you don't have a recruiting win, if you really are in it for the right reasons, you wish a player and his family the best. And he's certainly done a great job.
It's about as well as you can answer that question if you're Mario Cristobal. The Buckeyes and Canes battle for players all of the time, and it's something that's going to continue. They were not battling for Julian Sain. Of course, he went to Alabama, but is now a Buckeye quarterback and a Heisman finalist. Here's Mario Cristobal and the Buckeye quarterback.
Well, to us, we thought he was a surefire Heisman finalist. He has complete control of the offense, extremely accurate. He gets you in the right place. He knows where pressure is coming, where it's not coming, where he's protected and where he's not. And he delivers the ball on the run, in the pocket, on the move. Certainly a guy that can beat you a lot of ways, and he can extend plays, can improvise. So he does not look like a young guy playing the position. He looks like a guy that's been there for a long time that has complete control of the offense.
I think the only thing that gives Buckeye fan hesitation, if there is any hesitation today at all, is the last time we saw this offense play was really the first time all season that Julian kind of looked like a freshman. They got home. They confused on the back end. They sacked him. He hadn't really been sacked all year. He was sacked a bunch against Indiana. Now, Jeremiah and Carnell were not 100% in that game, not anywhere near it. But the reality is that they got home, and that caused a lot of problems because he was not able to identify what was happening on the back end to go with that pressure. Now, he still played plenty good enough to be able to win the game, but he was such a video game simulation up until that point. I think that's the only thing that gives you any pause, is the thought that maybe this Miami defensive line is better than that Indiana one, and it might be in terms of top-end talent. There's nobody Indiana has like Bane. But on the back end, I don't think they have Indiana's talent, not even close. So I think that is the part of this matchup that we're all curious about. Can, and it's quite honestly, guys, it's one Miami has to win. If Miami can't get pressure with four, they have no chance in this thing. And that's, I think, where this matchup will be won or lost, will be on the front. Can the Buckeye offensive line give Sain some protection? And can he be smart when the blitzes do come to be able to read it and get it out quickly? That's what this matchup comes down to me, guys.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see just how Miami likes to try, at least, to make life difficult for Julian. I think you're going to have you know, definitely an opportunity for them to move Reuben Bain or to stunt Reuben Bain or to figure out a way to get him to exploit that right side, or at least to have his presence enough to where your other guys on that defensive front for the Hurricanes can make life tough. And Gabe Van Sickle will step in, Tegra Tshabola out. So I don't know what that's going to look like, because we just haven't seen it from a full-time starting perspective. So I'm very interested to see if Ohio State can kind of manage that, and then what Miami's going to do to confuse the quarterback who's looked unflappable.
Well, Gabe Van Sickle or Josh Padilla. I don't think we know exactly who yet. I'm guessing we'll probably see both of them at some point tonight, because they've rotated at right guard a lot this year, but we don't know yet who is going to get the start there. Bo, if you and I and Reese can see what you said about they need to get pressure with four. Mm-hmm. If not, then Ohio State has seen that. And Ryan Day has talked about that a couple times when he's been asked about Julian this week, about getting the ball out quickly. And Julian even mentioned he needs to get the ball out a little quicker. He needs to see it a little faster, and he needs to let it rip a little faster. So if they're talking about that just to the media and people down there, I have a feeling behind closed doors that is being talked about an awful lot. And you may see an Ohio State offense that is geared towards quick pass plays, quick routes, maybe dump downs to the running back, wide receiver screens, all kinds of things like that, because I'm sure it is being driven home a lot.
If you're looking for, like, okay, when Miami has played relatively similarly talented teams at Ohio State, or relatively similar offensive teams, what has their defense done? Well, down in Dallas, just around the way from where they are now, when they played at SMU and lost 26-20 in overtime, Kevin Jennings went 29 of 44 for 365 and a touchdown against him. Jordan Hudson, a receiver, SMU, went 11 for 136. So let's not, Ray Lewis ain't walking through the door. Ed Reed ain't walking through the door, ladies and gentlemen. Like, this is not that Miami defense. They are very good up front. And even CJ Carr had success. He was 19 of 30, 225 yards, a touchdown and no picks against them in week one, making his first ever start. So there is success to be had against this Miami defense. And I just think the only thing that gives us a little bit of pause, and Bake, you're exactly right, of course Ohio State sees that too, the only thing that gives us a little bit of pause is the way that Indiana was able to disrupt Ohio State in the pass game. That was the first time that we'd seen that. Now, Ohio State still moved it up and down the field. It just got bogged down in the red zone. And that's something that's really mired this team all year, is that short red zone. It's the only criticism that you can have for this offense. Is when it gets down in there, we're not able to get seven, and a lot of times settling for three or nothing.
I would hope that tonight in those kinds of situations, if issues are there, short yardage or red zone, you don't hesitate to put in Lincoln. Or to try something with,
if you're going to do that,
that short yardage game, that the short yardage aspect that he brings to the table. And I know it flies in the face of what I've said this season about how if Julian gets you down there, you let Julian kick the door down. You don't have any time after this. Like, you've got to win tonight or it's over. And so I go back and forth, and I'll probably keep going back and forth until the 7:30 kick, because you have 4-17. So there should be no red zone issues.
Well, and you heard Brian this week, when he was asked about that.
Never once him off the field.
Never once 7-4.
And they shouldn't be. So,
ran the slant to Jeremiah in the Illinois game, and we kept saying, like, boy, just can't, doesn't that work every time?
Or we've talked about just throwing the ball up to one of the two. Give him a 50-50, because it's not 50-50.
Several times.
It's interesting we talk about the passing game in that Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
Julian Sain was still 21 of 29 for 258, a touchdown and an interception. And Jeremiah had a big game, 8 catches for 144 yards. Carnell Tate had 4 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown. And those dudes weren't healthy.
No.
They're healthy coming into this one tonight, it sounds like.
That speaks to the standard, though, that we have. That didn't get the job done. Like, he was that good, and that didn't get the job done. If they win that game, the kid probably wins the Heisman. We'll go down to Dallas, our buddy Jake Trotter, in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Honey Britton, I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard. A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit. A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival. That man is Jake Trotter.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
And we head down to Big D, where we find our good buddy, Mr. Trotter. Happy New Year, pal. Thing I'm always curious about with boots on the ground situation, your boots are on the ground in Dallas, is this. What's the feel there? Because sometimes when we're all the way up here, we have a little bit of a different feel for it. But you've been down there for a couple of days, and you've gotten kind of a feel for it. What's kind of your sense on the mindset of these two teams coming in?
I think it's going to be a close game tonight, Bo. I think Ohio State is confident. I think they seem pretty loose. But you look at Miami and just seeing them in person, they're a got-off-the-bus team. And you're just like, oh, they look the part. They look the part. And they've got some real strengths. You know, I think that offensively, you know, they're not going to score 40 points. They don't want to get into that type of game. But I do think they have some real advantages in this game. And I think they have a the potential to make it tough on Ohio State. I think Ohio State wins, but 9.5 seems like a lot of points to me for this game.
Yeah, I think it's right on it, but I could see it under it. I think it's going to be interesting, and I'm curious what you glean from just talking to Ohio State this week in terms of approach, because kind of the feeling that we've all had around here is that all year Ohio State has, knowing that they're trying to play 16 games, Ohio State has kind of done just enough to just survive in advance on to the next. We've never really seen them. We call on the show here a football Ferrari that they built there offensively. We've never really seen it shift into fifth and let it all hang out. We haven't seen them play with tempo. Is your sense that you could see some of that tonight, or certainly some of that in this run, if they're fortunate enough to be able to have a run?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, remember, they cranked it up last year in the playoff. They were just a different team. They reached a ceiling that they hadn't touched all year. You know, part of it, I think, was the Michigan game and just psychologically circling the wagons, coming together. Nobody believes in us. You know, our coach is being harassed. You know, let's go out and win. And they certainly played with an edge that we just hadn't seen the entire season. You know, the Big Ten championship loss was disappointing. I think it's a little bit different in terms of the emotions coming off the Michigan game last year. Plus, they won the national championship. I think they proved who they were.
Yeah.
That being said, offensively, they were a different animal coming out of the break last year. And, you know, the underrated dynamic of this game is Ryan Day calling plays, Bailey going up to the booth, Hartline on the sideline. Like, how does that change things? And I think it could be pretty good. You know, Ryan Day is an excellent play caller. I think that with him calling the shots, they might be a little bit more aggressive than they've been at times this season. We've seen them, you know, with their defense dominating, throttle it back a little bit. You know, I could see them throttling it up in this game. Now, the key is going to be, you cannot let the Miami defensive line control this game. When Ohio State has lost, it's because they have gotten beat up front against defensive lines. Michigan last year, Indiana in the Big Ten championship game. Mm-hmm. So do you come out, do you throw quick passes to try to get Jeremiah, Ennis, Carnell, Jackson out of the backfield the ball, and then, you know, run the ball and try to set up the play action shots downfield when you're at your best? And I think that's going to be really interesting to see how they try to protect Saiyan against this Miami defensive line, this Miami pass rush, especially with, like, let's face it, they got beat up front in the Indiana game. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the big difference in why they lost.
I agree. Yeah, that was, and by the way, Julian, we just went through it as we were doing the matchup, the Buckeye offense versus the Miami defense. Julian was still really good in the game. I think he was like 21-28, 256, and he's still really good. They just didn't put 7 on the board when they got down there. And that's kind of been the one thing that's dogged them all season, is short red zone, as we call it, has been a bit of an issue. Like, what do they do in the short red zone to get those points? My sense is, talking to everybody up there, that they've addressed that, but we won't really know tonight until they do. I do think, and it's interesting you say that, I think you're exactly right. Miami wants to play this game in a sandbox, which is weird because reputationally they wouldn't, but they really want this thing to be 17-13. That's what they
absolutely.
I don't see a scenario where Miami wants to get in a shootout because I don't think they have the firepower or the quarterback for it. And then that comes back to, do you think Matt Patricia, with this time to prepare for Carson Beck and Malachi Toney and all of it, my hunch is he's going to have a heck of a plan. And then it comes down to, can Miami score 17? And is that enough?
Well, when Miami has been at its best, they have put the game in the hands of the defense, and they have limited turnovers. They lost to Louisville this year because Carson Beck threw four interceptions. And, yep. And by the way, pretty decent Louisville team. They lost by three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they lost to SMU in overtime. You know, Beck had a couple of picks in that game. When he has taken care of the ball, they've been pretty tough to deal with because of that reason. They make it a 17-14 field position game. They let Bain, they let Matador make plays. You know, they let their defense really overwhelm the opposing quarterback. That's what happened in the Texas A&M game. It's exactly the blueprint that Miami wants to employ to win. You know, I just, at the end of the day, like, it's really hard to keep Jeremiah Cornell locked down forever. And it just kind of feels like eventually those guys are going to pop loose. But again, I think that the key in this game is, can Miami get pressure on Sain without bringing the house, and are they able to play coverage in a way that, you know, keeps Cornell and Jeremiah in front of them and make Ohio State earn its way down the field, which is kind of what Texas did last year in this Cotton Bowl. And, you know, it ended up being a fourth quarter game. So I'm with you on that. You know, on the other hand, you are right. Like, Carson Beck, you know, he's kind of a game manager at this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Miami's not scoring 40 tonight. And I think Matt Patricia, you know, he's going to look at these games, you know, he's looked at these games on film, and when we can rattle Carson Beck, like, you know, good things are going to happen for us. So Arvell and company, I think they're going to bring the house at times tonight. I think they're going to really try to force the issue and get him turned over and get the offense in some favorable positions, and then you're off and running.
And I don't think they'll ever let Malachi Toney out of their sight. I think Caleb Downs will be around where he is. I think they'll have a plan for all of that. And so I think we kind of see this all the same way. From the Miami perspective, Jake, there's a lot of symmetry to 03, right? Because that Miami team was going for back-to-back national titles. That Miami team was King Kong. And it was almost like for Ohio State to get on this level back then, all those years ago, they had to go through King Kong to do so. And now it's inverted. It's Miami trying to get back. This would mean everything to their program. Everything. This is the biggest game they played in since 2003. What is kind of your sense of if they're ready for the moment?
Is that right? Is this their biggest game since the...
I think so.
You might be right. I haven't even thought of that. And you are right. I mean, Ohio State is what Miami was in the early 2000s. What Nebraska was in the 90s. Yeah. What, you know, Oklahoma was in the 70s. I could go on. They are the program right now. When you look at stability, talent, you know, they have really adjusted well to the NIL era. I mean, it is the program in college football. And Ryan Day wins back-to-back national championships. That puts him in company that doesn't include Urban Meyer, that doesn't include Jim Tressel. And it's crazy that 13 months ago, you know, we were kind of wondering what was going to happen with him. Now he has a chance to, I think, really make the case that he's the best coach in college football. If they go on to win the national championship and win back-to-backs, which not only hasn't happened in Ohio State history, it has not happened very often.
No.
You know, you got Georgia, Bama, you know, you have, you know, Oklahoma won in 74-75, in Nebraska in 94-95, but it has not happened very often. And that would be an incredible feather in the cap of Ryan Day and this group of players last year and this year.
All right, buddy. I'll get you out of here on this one. How do you see it going tonight? Obviously, you mentioned earlier you think the Buckeyes will win this game, but game flow wise, as you jump in, throw a banana in Mr. Fusion, you put yourself to a few hours from now. How do you think this one goes?
Yeah, I think that, again, I think Miami is going to hang around in the first half. I think they're going to make it a second half game. I think they're going to make it a fourth quarter game. But again, I think it's going to be a little bit similar to Ohio State, Texas last year. And I just think whether it's Jeremiah or Cornell or Bo. Somebody's going to pop a big play or two in the second half, and they're going to put the game away, you know, down the stretch. But again, I think there's this sentiment out there that Ohio State's going to just roll out and win 45-10. I could be wrong. That could happen. Ohio State definitely has that ceiling and the talent to beat anybody thoroughly. But I just kind of feel like, I feel like Miami's good enough to hang around in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a four-quarter game, too. Great stuff. Enjoy it, buddy, and we'll do it again next week.
Okay, see you both. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Jake Trotter, senior college football reporter at ESPN, joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Jake Diebler Show, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Jake, when you jump right back into Big Ten play, it's road heavy to start. What kind of road mentality do you have to develop when you're playing in the Big Ten, or at least what you've accomplished so far on this young season?
You know, we talk about toughness traveling, and we talk about connection traveling. Like, that's what you got to take with you. You know, in Big Ten play, every road environment's really good. So that connection's, you know, even more important. And then you got to be tough. This game's a physical game. This league is a physical league. And, you know, you got to prepare well, recover well, and just be really highly detailed in your preparation and stuff, so that when the game starts and you are in the opposing arena, you're ready to go.
We'll have another comment right after this.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State athletics.
Do you sense that a camaraderie can build when you play on the road with a group that's led by a senior like Bruce Thornton?
Yeah, I think so. I think our connection on the road is going to be really important. You know, we got a long road trip here coming up real soon, and that's a lot of time together. So, you know, we spend a lot of time together when we travel, whether it's in hotels and in opposing gyms, getting ready, walking through things, eating meals, and it certainly builds that camaraderie that's really important to win on the road.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota Thon is on, and it's the perfect time to wrap up the year with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 RAV4 or RAV4 hybrid. Or lease a new gas-powered RAV4 LE for $279 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
When it's six,
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Chip and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a first Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
On Tuesday, Alabama sophomore wide receiver Ryan Williams says he intends to return to the Tide in 2026. Williams told AL.com he's, quote, Alabama through and through and has, quote, no intentions of being anywhere else. After earning first-team All-SEC honors and freshman All-American honors in 2024, he's had fewer catches, yards, and half as many touchdowns in 2025. He's second nationally in highest percentage of drops with 10 on the season. He's had only one 100-yard receiving performance this season and hasn't eclipsed 45 receiving yards in a game since October. He turns 19 in February. Thing or not a thing?
That's the biggest thing, that he doesn't turn 19. He's already played two full seasons of college football. The NFL's going to drool over that. The drops aren't great. I'm not sure. We do the real truth on Tuesday. I'm not sure it's the real truth that he had no intentions of being anywhere else. I think perhaps there was a little bit of smoke signal situation with Mr. Williams, and maybe Alabama intercepted that smoke and got it tampered out before it spread to a wildfire. But I have a sense that he probably was looking around a little bit. But I do think that with their win against Oklahoma, now playing in the Rose Bowl, then you get a little bit of a more buy-in. But if they, for example, lose on New Year's Day, would I be shocked if he jumped in? No, I would not.
That's what I was just thinking. If they lose to Indiana in the Rose Bowl and they don't really target him, like he gets one target, no catches, or just one catch, is that going to change everything? It's really interesting. He had such a good year last year as a freshman. For whatever reason, the connection with him and Ty Simpson just has not been there this year. It just hasn't worked out like it did. Is it a sophomore slump for Williams, or is Ty Simpson just not see whatever's there with Williams? I don't know what it is. It's definitely weird, and he can say this now, but you know, come Friday, it could be a different story. Who knows?
Totally.
Also at Rose Bowl Media Day, Alabama linebacker Deontay Lawson was asked if Indiana's Fernando Mendoza reminds him of any of the SEC quarterbacks he's faced this season.
Nah, I wouldn't say he reminds me of anyone. He's probably the most elite quarterback that we face since Coach DeBoer been here, and he's just elite. We gotta, you know, try to affect him early, and you know, it'll pay off for us in the end for sure.
Thing or not a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a heck of a test. I like Bake's line, like if the uniforms are reversed, it would probably be Alabama favored by 12.5 or 13.5, and instead it's 7. I think Indiana's quite a bit better. But there is going to come Heisman guys, there's a hangover that comes with that. And we saw that here in 2006. Like when you win it, there's a lot on the banquet circuit that starts to happen for you. And you're doing meet and greets and all these things, and he's done all of that. It's been a long layoff for them too. I am curious to see what they look like on Thursday, and if in fact they look the way that they looked the last time they played, and it'll be on Mendoza, because he's going to have to be pretty good. I do think Alabama will score on him. That's going to be a great game.
It's interesting how much the SEC fans and media come after the Big Ten. Like, even after Illinois beat Tennessee last night, I saw SEC media coming after the Big Ten. Like, oh, you were supposed to prop this team up so well, and you barely beat Tennessee. And well, who won the game? And with this situation, Alabama played the toughest SEC schedule of anyone. Mm-hmm. And this guy's saying they haven't played anybody like Fernando Mendoza. Now, I understand that Fernando Mendoza is the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's the best player in college football. And that matters. It's not always the norm. He's probably the exception. But I think it is just funny that the players understand, right? They've seen this guy. He's watching. He's there's no quarterback in the SEC that's close to this guy. Nobody that we've played yet. It's just interesting to hear him give that perspective, because so many in that fan base down there try to discredit the Big Ten all the time in the football that's played up here.
I would just like to give this message to Fernando Mendoza. When 2025 becomes 2026, any and all 216 and 440 area code calls you receive, ignore them. Don't get drafted by Cleveland. So I know you guys talked about this last week. It was some big college basketball news, but Baylor, they signed James Nagy, who had been drafted in the NBA. Now, he's on the Baylor Bears roster as of Christmas Eve with immediate eligibility. Now, this has gotten a lot of consternation from some of the biggest names in college basketball. NCAA President Charlie Baker went on Twitter yesterday to address that that the issue that's arisen. Quote, the NCAA has not and will not grant eligibility to any prospective or returning student-athletes who've signed an NBA contract. That includes a two-way contract. As schools are increasingly recruiting individuals with international league experience, the NCAA is exercising discretion in applying an actual and necessary expenses bylaw to ensure that prospective student-athletes with experience in American basketball leagues are not at a disadvantage compared to their international counterparts. He ends this word salad with, I will be working with D1 leaders in the weeks ahead to protect college basketball from these misguided attempts to destroy this American institution.
Oh, go to hell.
Thing or not a thing.
I was going to be nice because it's New Year's Eve and I don't want to get into it with him. But like, are you kidding me? You've done it. You blew it, boy. You did this. You destroyed the American institution. You and your cohorts over the last 25 years. So if I'm to read this word salad correctly, they're going to try and ban this kid from playing because he signed an NBA contract and was drafted by an NBA team, despite the fact he's not played in the NBA.
I told Baker, have fun in court.
Yeah, good luck with that, because you currently are signing European players who played professionally to play in college, and that's fine. There is zero court in the United States that's going to let this uphold this. None.
So I don't know if Nagy has signed a contract, if he has ever signed a contract. The one thing we know is he played in some summer league games. He never played an NBA game, and he never played in a G League game. Now, he has played some games professionally overseas. There is a guy right now, I can't remember his name, who has played 8 games in the NBA that college programs are trying to sniff around. And hopefully, Charlie Baker, what he says here is right, and he shuts this down.
He doesn't have the power to, Bake.
I actually, just in our last break, I thought this was interesting. I saw, I think it was Dan Wetzel tweeting about this, and he was talking about that you're having this go on with colleges right now with hockey players. Mm-hmm. As the Jackets have 2 draft picks that are playing in, one in Michigan State and Caden Lindstrom, the other at Penn State and Jackson Smith. And those guys have not signed contracts. So I think this is an interesting twist in that. Now, if these guys haven't signed contracts, maybe this is okay and these teams can hold their draft rights. I don't know how long an NBA team, I thought it was just 1 year. If they never signed, they went back in the draft the next year. I don't know how that goes. This is going to be an interesting development with this and see how this all goes. If these guys do not sign pen to paper in a contract, is it okay for them to come back and that team still has them as an eligible player, somebody that they still have the rights to? There's a lot of work that's going to need to be done here. Now, do we trust these people to do it right? No, we don't, but
yeah, who's going to do it? Like, Calipari gave a great, 6-minute thing on this about all the stuff. But then at the end of it, he's like, you know, someone's got to lead. Someone has to lead. Someone actually has to do the work. Nobody wants to do the work. And that's how you're in the spot that you're in with when you got a completely lawless collegiate athletics. Final hour on a football first Friday. We open it up with a little bit of, hey, guys, still time to get your questions in at 971BFS. Also in the YouTube chat, we will do that coming up next. Final hour, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
Do you suck?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Think of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Every child deserves a safe, loving, and permanent home. Help the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption find families for children who've lingered in foster care the longest. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the third time in as many seasons, the Buckeyes are playing in the Cotton Bowl Classic. Last year, it was a CFP semifinal. This time, it's a playoff quarterfinal against the Miami Hurricanes. Tonight's kickoff from Dallas is 7:30. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage all day long. Ohio State's one of four Big Ten teams in action New Year's Eve. At noon, Iowa takes on Vanderbilt in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Citrus Bowl's at 3:30. Michigan's got Texas at 3:30 in Las Vegas. Nebraska battles Utah in the Las Vegas Bowl. In college hoops, the 19th-ranked Ohio State women's squad's at Purdue today at 12:30. Neil Sika's going to have the call with coverage at 12:15 over on The Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial. The Ohio State men's squad's at Rutgers on Friday, and the Blue Jackets look to make it four straight tonight, hosting the Devils at 7. Zach Werenski expected back Saturday against Buffalo. This update sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit GetEco.com and book today.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Buckeye football New Year's Eve first Friday edition. A lot of labels on this one. We kick it off with a little, hey guys, hit it, fellas.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag #HeyGuys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Dime, drink, distill at High Bank Distillery Co. Learn more at highbankco.com.
And the winner here gets a $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank, the free distillery tour and the tasting for up to 10. It's home of the best blended whiskey in America, 3 years running, the best vodka in the world. It's located right here in town, highbankco.com. Go ahead, fellas.
We got a lot of action on the YouTube chat today in regards to, hey guys, questions in regards to this first Friday, New Year's Eve, Cotton Bowl. Chris asks, hey guys, what time are you cracking a cold one or it officially endorsed tonight?
I'm gonna be like Sensei in one battle after another. A few small beers is where I'm gonna be. That's gonna be kind of, I'm gonna go a few small beers to start, and I won't have anything of a celebratory nature until game in hand. So once I type three things, that's when we'll have something of the celebratory nature. But up until that point, it's going to be just wading into it because it's so we're 7:30. Is that kick?
Well, that's the scheduled kick. Yes.
ESPN probably looking pretty, more 7:47 ish.
Well, they got Imagine Dragons playing before this.
I was just kidding, like, how close to 7:30 is it? Ugh. Or is it? Are they going to try to milk it to pass?
I was just about to say, like, ESPN does a decent enough job. Like, it's not like Fox.
Yeah, they should be relatively on time. So this game should be well in hand by the, I mean, well done by New Year, by the ball dropping and all that. So
So I would normally say on a day like today, and I'm getting out of here at 2, probably about 2:15, 2:30, we might start participating in the New Year's celebration. But as I've said, I'm going to the Blue Jackets game tonight. I'll be in the press box. So we're probably going to wait to crack open the high bank until we get home after that.
Well, then we all have to work tomorrow.
Semantics.
It can't be quite the celebratory that you were hoping, that you normally would embark on a New Year's Eve. Dude, there's so many of these. I remember, like, the amount of times when we're, like, walking out of the Superdome and realizing it's, like, New Year's Eve. And being like, oh, I guess we can, you want to go to Bourbon Street? It's open all night. Like, that type of thing. Like, that. So many of these New Year's Eves I've spent at bowl locations through the years. It's wild when you're in one of those spots.
I will never forget, was that 3 years ago now? Right as the ball was dropping, Noah Ruggles kick going wide
left.
Easy,
we don't need to play that one.
I mean, they were simultaneous.
Yeah.
You're right. It was right on it.
Connor's got a dilemma here. He asks on YouTube, hey guys.
I had not much of a dilemma.
A bit of a dispute. I'm watching the game over celebrating my grandma's birthday with the family. He asks, what do I do?
You celebrate, you do the game. You do the game. Like, hold on a second. Like, the idea was that they're going to celebrate grandma's birthday on New Year's Eve?
Well, if it's her birthday, yeah.
Move the birthday. It's all arbitrary. Do it yesterday.
You
want to
tell grandma that?
Yeah, I'm going to tell grandma that. Like, no, I'm watching the game. Like, is she being celebrated at a place with televisions? How old's grandma?
That's what I was going to say. I don't know how old grandma is, but what are the chances she's up that late anyway?
I do think, and I was trying to find out where he said it. So, Connor, please reply back into the YouTube chat so we can have it before the end of this segment. I think she's a younger grandma. And I don't want to sound mean or anything, but if she's got some time, then you can make the time tonight for the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, like unless grandma's 99 and we're not sure we're going to get to 100 or turning, it's like some milestone birthday.
Yeah,
like,
worry about celebrate milestone.
It tomorrow. Like, if it's the 75th, the 80th, the 90th, the 100th,
anything.
Fine, then you got to do it, I suppose, and just have an eye on the game. But otherwise, like, grandma, we'll do it tomorrow. It's all going to be fine.
All right. Rand's got a good one in the YouTube chat. Hey, guys. Wife and I are hosting for the Buckeyes game tonight. One guest of 10 is a vegetarian. Should she make meatless chili?
No. Nope. 1 in 10, veggie tray. You got to have options. You got to have some options. But I'm not making a specific. Now, I might buy one. You can buy. Just go to the store and buy a meatless chili and have that. Just so it's an available option. I think that's a considerate thing to do, but I wouldn't make meatless chili from scratch for one person.
So, as someone who is not the most adventurous eater in life, and especially wasn't growing up, it's not your responsibility. If you have weird tastes or you eat a different diet or something, that's on you. You deal with it or you bring your own. But it's not my job. I'm hosting a bunch of people. It's not my job to worry about your different diet. Like, if you don't want to eat it, that's on you, but it's not my problem to placate to you.
Connor's grandma, 63.
Oh, God. Celebrate tomorrow, grandma.
Grandma understands. Come on. She should be watching the Bucks, too.
Yeah, come on. Celebrate with grandma tomorrow.
Dustin,
there's no way she planned that.
Dustin in the YouTube chat says, hey, guys, I have 2 TVs in my house. My kids are locked on Stranger Things finale, and my fiance hates football. He asks for help.
Find a new fiance. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I think so. You got 2 TVs. Well, first of all, the kids don't want to watch the Buckeye game.
That's my question.
So I guess if they don't, then I guess what you say to the fiance is read a book, grab a tablet. Like, you're not going to not watch the game. Like, that's just not in the cards. So if she wants to do the ball drop stuff, you can flip back and forth between the two. But the Stranger Things is finite, right? Like, it's almost done.
This will be the last episode, and it'll be available tomorrow.
Oh, so he's fine. He'll be fine.
Well,
so,
I'd tell your kids that. I don't.
That's what I was going to say. Tell the fiance, tough noogies, like, you're watching the Cotton Bowl tonight, or the kids, like, Stranger Things will be there after the game. I don't think anybody's going to spoil Stranger Things on New Year's Eve for you. You're all good.
Yeah, yeah. Either one of those TVs is on the Buckeye game, and then they can fight it out for who gets the second one.
Troy asks on the YouTube chat, hey guys, for 2026, do Clemson, Tennessee, and USC have the three hottest seats to begin next year's college football season?
Tennessee doesn't have a hot seat. I think they're really satisfied with Heupel.
And they get Jim Knowles in his binder.
Yeah, I think his seat is cool as the other side of the pillow in homage to the great Stu Scott. I would say I think the hottest seat, boy, so many of the seats have been that were hotter no longer. I think the hottest seat is would still be Kalen DeBoer. If he flames out tonight, I think his seat is still hot at Alabama because they're just lunatics. Dabo is, I don't know what Clemson does. It seems like Clemson's just kind of, they're kind of in the spot Florida State was in with Bowden. I lived it. And they're kind of just like, well, we can't fire him. He's the whole program. Like, you can't. The difference is Bowden was 80. And Dabo's a young dude. So I don't think that, excuse me, bless me. I definitely don't think that Lincoln's seat is necessary. I don't think they're firing him there. I think they got a nice class coming in. They have a little bit of program momentum, and I don't think they're firing him there. So I think hottest seat DeBoer, and then the Clemson thing is fascinating to me. I don't think the seat's hot at all at Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think the Tennessee seat is hot at all. I think they're fine with Heupel. Clemson is interesting because this isn't 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when Bowden was at FSU. And I know he's got the new two national championships, but it sure looked like he didn't have a clue this year. And if next year starts out the same way, I could see maybe that seat getting really hot. If DeBoer gets beat and gets beat bad by Indiana, I think it'll be hot, but I don't think it should be because I think he's one of the best in the nation. Yeah. I will say this, Lincoln Riley is 35-18 at USC. Clay Helton started 35-18 at USC.
That's wild. I just don't know. I don't know if it's a product of him or just that job. Like, everybody wants to put USC on, like, the Mount Rushmore of great jobs. Are we sure it is? In our lifetime, the only time that they've won big is Pete Carroll. That's it. In our lifetime. I mean, I don't go back to O.J. Simpson.
That's why I'd wondered when NIL was greenlit that they weren't better.
I don't know if they care enough for it, Reese.
Yeah, because at the heyday, it was like that was the biggest thing in Hollywood was Pete Carroll's USC Trojans. And everybody was on the sidelines for those games against Texas. It was the biggest thing. And I think a lot's changed since then. There's been the prevalence of two NFL teams. I think the Lakers aren't better. But
well, they've got LeBron and Luka. Yeah. They're still the Lakers. And then there's the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
So, like, and the two NFL teams. So, like, when they did it, it was the perfect storm. It was the end of the Shaq Kobe Lakers. That was kind of all blowing up. The Dodgers were owned by McCourt. They were irrelevant. And there was no NFL. So they owned that city. They don't anymore. And I just don't know if their alumni is locked in enough. It seemed, I mean, if they signed the number one class in the country, which they did, that tells me that the NIL got locked in. So maybe they can finally switch it around. The most fascinating one, though, is Clemson, guys. I just don't know. I don't know what you do there, how long you do it. Sounds like he fired the offensive coordinator. Now it seems like they're bringing Chad Morris back. Like, he just keeps trying to what's old is new again down there. And they haven't recruited well. Like, are they going to – how are they replacing Klubnik? Are they going to do it in the portal? They haven't recruited a quarterback on that level. Yeah, I don't know. They could – that thing could end up – he could drive it all the way into the ground.
All right, we got to pick a winner.
I'll lean on you, Reese. Who do you like?
I think if we allow Connor to have the Hey Guys this week, he could take the $50 gift card to High Bank. He can go on the distillery tour and the whiskey tasting with his grandma for her birthday.
Oh, I like that. Tyler on social says, Grandma will be fine. Her birthday's been the second best event for 63 years now. She's got to get used to it. She's been new. Yes, she has to be used to it by now. It's valid. It's Bootsy's birthday today, and we told him when he was little, we just said all the fireworks in Sydney, Australia are for you. Isn't that amazing how that all worked out?
Fair.
Yeah. So, Connor, you're going to enjoy that $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank and the free distillery tour and the tasting for up to 10. Stop by High Bank's three locations, Grandview, Gahanna, Westville. Enjoy the award-winning spirits for your next happy hour. Make your reservation at highbankco.com. Drink local, drink High Bank. When the Hurricanes have the ball, can they score more than 16? We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Colin Mann here for
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice. Real football talk. Just two guys who aren't afraid to say what needs to be said.
And that's how she wrote.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Now streaming mornings on YouTube and 10TV Plus. Attack and dominate.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live. For the better of myself, my family, my weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Happy New Year's Eve and go Bucks. We're going to see temperatures today get right around freezing, but with gusty winds, it'll feel even colder than that. We will see snow develop later this evening, which could impact your New Year's Eve and Buckeye watch party plans, so safe travels. We will see that snow eventually taper off overnight, turning cloudy with lows in the teens. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Buckeyes and Canes tonight in Dallas. The first quarterfinal game of the college football playoff will be played tonight. Old me, like young me, pre-married me, New Year's Eve me, would not have liked this. I would not have probably liked this. Married me loves New Year's Eve Buckeye football. Perfect. Perfect way to celebrate with the family. A slow burn builds towards midnight. Hopefully you're toasting a Buckeye victory along with a new year. So it sets up very nice if you win this game. As you guys pointed out, it sets up quite forgettably if you lose this game. So that's kind of the part of it. We spend so much time on this matchup talking about Miami's defensive line and what impact it could have on the Ohio State offense, in large part because the last time we saw the Buckeyes in Indiana defensive line wreaked a little bit of havoc on Julian Sand and the Buckeye offense. Now, the Buckeyes still move the ball down the field. If they make kicks, convert in the red area, they win that game, and we're not even having these conversations, but it didn't happen that way, and so we are. The other side of this matchup, though, to me, is just as critical, and that is this part of it. What Carson Beck are you going to see? Because when he's solid and doesn't turn the ball over, Miami is a very difficult team to beat. But when he's bad, it's train off the tracks bad. It's wheels fall off bad. In their losses, he has thrown seven turnovers in those two losses to SMU and Louisville. That's where this thing comes down to. Julian hasn't done anything like that, and he's done it a lot. He did it at Georgia, and he's done it this year at Miami. Now, the fact that he played at Georgia, the fact that he was a quarterback of a Georgia team that had some success did provide him some experience for games like this. Here is Beck on just that.
My whole, you know, college football career, even obviously when I wasn't playing at Georgia, we were always, you know, in these types of games. So it kind of feels, I mean, it's normal to an extent. And I know that's a little weird to say that it's normal to always be on the stage. But, you know, I've been in these games and moments, even, you know, not playing, being on the sideline, but being around teams that have been here. And then obviously it feels a little bit better to be the quarterback, to lead a team to this position, and just super blessed to have this opportunity.
What was his, I'm trying to think, I'm trying to put piecemeal together my Georgia history here. He played in the 24 playoff. Did he play in the 2024 playoff for Georgia? Last year he got hurt, and so he didn't play in the playoff.
I think he would have, because he would have had to have, because he played the
SEC championship.
He was the number one pick, according to everyone, heading into the draft.
Yeah,
he was. But the 2023 game, that was Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
Against CJ. So in 2024, what did they do?
So like last season?
Well, that's the 2022 season, the 2023 bowl game.
So you mean last year he got hurt. Postseason. They played Florida State in the 2023 or 2024 Orange Bowl.
So he wouldn't have been in the playoff. They would have just missed out.
Yeah. So he's not played in one of these because the injury happened to him. And then they were like, yeah, we're good. You can go to Miami. And the rest is history. So while he was on the Georgia teams that played in a lot of these games, he has not played in a game quite like this. He did weigh in on a defense that is the best in the country. Here's the Miami quarterback on the Buckeye D.
They're very talented, obviously. You look at their front seven, you look at the DBs, and then obviously the scheme that they run with, you know, Coach Patricia and what they do on defense. They're very talented, and they make you earn each yard. So, again, I think we have a good plan, but again, we know the challenge that they're going to pose for us, but we're excited for the opportunity.
The most points this Buckeye defense has given up all year was 16 points in Champaign against the Illini. That's it. That's the list. They have been stingy. They have been dynamic. They give you nothing in the red zone. They've had weeks to prepare for this Miami offense. Here's Matt Patricia, the mad scientist behind all of it.
There's a lot. I mean, the run game controls the game, right? You know, and I think that comes from the head coach, and they've done a great job of really running the ball and controlling the game. You saw that against A&M. The quarterback and his decision making, and certainly Tony. I mean, this guy's everywhere. He does everything. He can play quarterback if you need him to. He can run the ball downhill. He can catch the ball vertical, and he can, you know, certainly horizontal stress you. So those are the key points of the game that we really got to do a good job with to start early.
Yeah, I was I'm on this, right? Yeah, so Beck started all 2023 at Georgia. They lost to Alabama in the SEC title game and then played Florida State. And then last year, in 2024, he got hurt in the SEC title game and a game that they won. They beat Texas in that game, and that was it, though. He got hurt in that game, and that was the end of it for him, and so he did not play in the playoff. And if you go back even last year at Georgia, in terms of a talent equates game, here are what I would consider to be talent equates games for him last year as a starting quarterback at Georgia. Probably Clemson. They won 34-13. He was 23 of 33, 278. They lost at Bama. That's the Ryan Williams Hello World game. He was 27 of 50 for 439, three touchdowns, but also three picks. Another talent equates game potentially would be the Ole Miss game, another game they lost, 28-10. He was 20 of 31, 186 and a pick. And then probably Tennessee. He was pretty good against Tennessee last year. They won 31-17. He was 25 of 40 for 347, two touchdowns, no picks. He is, in talent equates games, he has not had the answers to the test at Georgia and at Miami this year. And I think he's the key to this entire operation. Malachi Toney is dynamic. My guess is wherever he goes, Caleb Downs is aware of it. Here is the Buckeye consensus All-American on the Miami offense.
Really veteran quarterback. Carson Beck, he's played at a really high level. The offensive line is very massive. They do a really good job of what they do. And then the skill positions, they've been playing really well all year. Malachi Toney's played at an extreme level, so they do a really good job.
If there is one thing that concerns you about
concerns you about this Miami offense, what is it?
The big play with Malachi Toney.
Yeah.
Is if you're able to get him in space to make, you know, a play that, I think this will be a close game. And we'll have our predictions at the end of the program. But I think if they can find him in space and he can break one, you can make one guy miss and he's off. And you can keep Miami hanging around.
Yeah, I think it's for sure Malachi Toney. And I even said this earlier in the week. I'm not worried about the rest of this Miami offense. Mark Fletcher's fine, but I think Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese and Caleb Downs will just be fine containing that running game. And obviously it'll be more than those three, but I don't worry about that. Malachi Toney is the guy, and you just mentioned it, Bo. Maybe mm-hmm. Caleb Downs. I said just man up Jermaine Matthews on him and go one-on-one with those two and have everybody else help everywhere else. That's the only person on this offense that scares me.
Yeah, I think for them, he's obviously the ultimate weapon, but I think for them, Fletcher's probably the key. If they can establish the run game, and they were pretty dominant running the ball against Texas A&M in a 10-3 win, albeit, but he was 17 for 172 in that game against A&M. And when they have success, it's got to come off of that first, and then they could ignite Toney. Ohio State has had the answers to the test of every offense they've faced all year. This offense is not better than Indiana's, an offense you held to 13. It's not. So don't make them more than what they are. And I think if you do that and you confuse Beck, he will throw it to you. He has a propensity to throw the ball to the other team in games like this.
Well, for Fletcher, when he had that game against Texas A&M in the first round, you know, he had a 56-yard gain on first down of the drive mm-hmm. they scored the touchdown. So your point's exactly correct. Is if you allow that kind of a big playability, much like with Toney, it'll keep the Hurricanes in this. But they were down 14-0 at Louisville,
mm-hmm.
and Carson Beck threw four interceptions in that game.
Yeah.
They're not chasing you.
That's it. If you can get them to chase, he will throw it to you. Mm-hmm. Like he's done that his whole career. Did that at Georgia, and he's done that at Miami. We'll head back to Dallas with our buddy Tim May in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and time to head back down south to Big D, and that's where we find our good buddy Tim May, the Tim May Show with Clay Holland, right here on The Fan, as he joins us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. One thing I always like to do when I used to cover these bowls all the time was kind of have a sense on game day of what you're in for. What is your sense of what we're in for tonight, my friend?
Hey, what do they call that at the beginning of a big time heavyweight fight? Kind of a feeling out process of how fast are you? How strong are you? How good are you? And then go from there. And, you know, like Ryan Day said yesterday when I was asking him whether he liked the way this team kind of got their feet back under him over the last several weeks, in terms of he thought there was a little bit of a, you know, slight slippage maybe. I don't know if you call it an intensity or whatever, that little edge, you know, coming off that win over Michigan. You know, not excuses about the Indiana game, but mm-hmm. just kind of like readdress the small things, the fundamentals, et cetera. And he said, yeah. And he goes, but you know, the point about a game like this is, you know, your intent is to come out with a fast start. Of course, that's Miami's intent also. So, yeah. You know, when, it's kind of like the first turn at Indy, man, when you've never been there for the drop of the green flag for the first time and 33 cars try to go into turn one at the same time, going 200 miles an hour. Strange things can happen. And then one of those cars can squirt out into the lead and never be caught, you know, so to speak. So that to me is what's always interesting, is a lot of people put a lot into what happens the first quarter of a football game. And you and I have been around long enough to know a 5-year-old's been around long enough to know that just sets the stage for what's to come, not what's going to happen.
You used the analogy of a heavyweight fight and the feeling out of a heavyweight fight. Do you think this Miami team is a heavyweight team?
Yeah, I do think they're heavyweight. But as we all know, you covered some boxing. There's differences between the heavyweights. And I think Ohio State is the more, what do you want to call it, the more established heavyweight. Is that the best way of putting it? The more,
well, they're the heavyweight champs.
The more talented of the heavyweights. And but we'll see how that goes. You know, a lot of people said that about Mike Tyson, you know, and I was over there 4 rows back from the ring when Buster Douglas knocked him out. But, you know, Buster Douglas showed him right away this was going to be an all-night affair, not a minute 26 knockout. And so that's what Ohio State does. That's what Miami, I know, intends to do. But Ohio State is probably playing the role of Tyson to a certain extent in this matchup, but they are incredibly potent, and so I think this has the earmarks, Bo. I don't know what you think, of being a hell of a fight, because Miami is a little bit, in my opinion, of the unknown, because you don't know which Carson Beck's going to show up, right?
Well, and, in games like this, typically it's the bad one.
You know what Julian Sayin's going to show up? Go ahead.
No, I think in this one, I think typically for Carson Beck, historically in games like this, it's not good. I mean, that's kind of what he's been, is when talent equates, he's not been great a lot. And you can go back to the Alabama game that he had played for Georgia last year. Like, and there's a bunch of them. He threw 4 picks against Louisville. Like, there are games where he's struggled a lot. If we want to stay with the heavyweight fight analogy, and if we want to say that the Buckeyes are Mike Tyson and that the Miami has the chance to pull the Buster Douglas, where are the vulnerabilities that Ohio State has, much as there were vulnerabilities that Mike Tyson had that nobody talked about? So what I'm asking is, from the Miami perspective, where do they think they can have success? Where must they have success to spring the upset?
Well, for example, if I'm scouting just the Indiana game, which was one of the few like opponents Ohio State played this year, they targeted Jermaine Matthews on a couple of big time plays, as you well know, you know, and with their basically off receiver. And are we going to stick? You have to imitate what somebody else did that was successful against your opponent, or, you know, you're not really trying. So, for example, if they can, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they try to do that and see how Jermaine Matthews, for example, rises to the occasion. With that said, with Malachi Toney, the guy's capable of striking lightning. And I say that much of the narrative about Miami going into this game in terms of their potent offense, as everybody keeps talking about it, is based on the fourth quarter against Texas A&M. Because they didn't light the place up either the first 3 quarters, but Mark Fletcher had a couple of rips there on that touchdown drive, and then Malachi Toney came around on that little shovel jet, and turned the corner like Usain Bolt and scored a touchdown, and boom, that was the difference in that ball game. But that was for a quarter. Can Miami do stuff like that all day? I think Ohio State, if Ohio State can protect, and that's the big question, their Ohio State's offensive line against Miami's defensive front, vaunted defensive front, I think Ohio State can throw the ball on these guys, not necessarily with impunity, but when you've got Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith feeling as close to 100% as they've been in 6 weeks, and then sprinkling in Brandon Ennis and Max Clair and possibly even Will Kaczmarek. You know, Kaczmarek had some big catches in that win at Michigan, right? He's supposed to be maybe the best blocking tight end in college football, but he can catch the ball too. So the way they can mix it up, and maybe Bo Jackson, maybe not necessarily always as a runner tonight, but as a also pass catcher out of the backfield, that's where Ohio State can have some success, because they can clearly present, I think, more options, more threats to Miami than necessarily Miami can present to them from an offensive standpoint. But yeah, the big matchup's going to be Ohio State versus their defensive front, much like it was Ohio State's defensive front against Miami's vaunted offensive line in 2002 national championship game, 2003 Fiesta Bowl, and Ohio State held sway.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels that are just opposite from that game to this one. I mean, that Miami team was going to national, trying to win back-to-back national titles. They were the King Kong of the sport. This time it's Ohio State trying to do it. I don't want to keep going with the analogy because I don't want the audience to get mad at me, but there's a lot of parallels if it just goes opposite.
Tim. Yeah, mirror image. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing that's interesting, buddy, is I don't know where you stand on this. I think Ohio State can win this fight a lot of different ways. I think they can win in a lot of different styles. I think they can win in the 40s. I think they can blow them out. I think they can win a game in the 20s. And in the teens. Conversely, I think Miami has to win the game in the sandbox. I think it's got to be low scoring and it's got to be tight. Now, the thing that ought to give you Buckeye fan a little concern is Ohio State this season has kind of played that way. They haven't played, like we use the analogy, the football Ferrari. They haven't let it go. I mean, it's like, oh, we get to 28 and we're good because the defense is so great. What approach do you think Ryan will have tonight?
He's got to be aggressive. And by aggressive, I mean you got to throw the ball down the field. I don't mean 50-yard bombs every other play. I'm talking about attack the intermediate area, especially in the middle of the field. There's something to be had there. You've got to, I'm talking about those 15, 18, 22-yard kind of pass plays. Yep. That really cut your heart out, as a defense. And then offensively, you've got to try to run the ball on these guys. I think Carson Hensman, the guys in the middle, Carson Hensman, Gabe Van Sickle making his first start probably at right guard, and Luke Montgomery, I think they can do some work. And then, of course, if you watch the if you watch A&M a little bit, I mean, Reuben Bain, if you can make him defend the run a lot more on the edge, maybe put a tight end on his side also and stuff, he's kind of like not the same guy. But you remember I told you that a million times. I asked Nick Bosa. I told Nick Bosa one time. I said, you and your brother got it made. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, y'all make two plays a game, you've had a hell of a game. meanwhile, offensive tackle misses one play and he's had a crap game. So, the key is going to be those matchups. Can they get those just a couple of, not gash runs, but that doesn't mean home run runs, but a couple of gash three runs and get these guys a little bit on their heels. That's where you're really going to make some hay. But I'm agreeing with you. There's no reason not to be aggressive. But aggressive doesn't always mean bombs away. Aggressive can mean just, you've got to establish a run of some sort to show them you're willing to attack the, back to the boxing analogy, the underbody. You know what I mean? You've got to be able to show them you'll go for the kidneys and the liver as much as you will the head.
So absolutely. I think body blows.
Ohio State's equipped for that. Let me put it that way.
All right, buddy. I'll get you out of here on this one. Obviously, I'm sure you're going to pick the Buckeyes to win, but how do you think this one goes tonight? What's kind of the game flow? What does it feel like?
I don't know. I've got this weird feeling that Ryan Day, just from the way he said it, wants to get off to a fast start. That's easier said than done. I think Ohio State, by middle of the second quarter, establishes itself offensively. I think Julian Sayin is primed to have a pretty big game, but I also say that about Jeremiah Smith. We've said this a million times, Bo. What do you do if you're not throwing the ball to Jeremiah Smith 10 times a game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they understand that, but boy, does Darnell take you. So I think that's more on if you can protect Julian Sayin, that's more than this Miami defense can handle, in my opinion. So I think Ohio State eventually establishes itself with a couple of big time pass plays and then cruises.
Enjoy it, buddy. Going to be a fun one tonight.
Always
happy New Year.
Always a pleasure, fella.
All right, buddy. We'll do it again soon. The great Tim May, the Tim May Show with Clay Holland, right here on The Fan on FanStreamSports.com, joining on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll get you three keys to a Buckeye victory. You're officially endorsed. It's all coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flight Auto Glass. As your team gets ready to go to the Cotton Bowl, if you would just talk about, and we've talked about it before, how the bowl experience has changed in recent years now.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call them bowls really anymore. They're playoffs, and the regular season is very disconnected from the playoffs and just the way it's set up and the timing. So you really have to have a plan for how you attack that in between, that gap. And so everyone's gap is a little bit different. in that some guys play in the conference championship game, some guys don't. Some play in the first round, some don't. And so, you know, we did, and we had the bye, so I think it was 24 days, you know, or somewhere in there that we had to manage. And there's different phases to that, and very, very thoughtful about how we attack this time, and very detailed. It was, everybody was involved with it, the coaches, you know, Mick, sports science, and we really did a lot of research on this to figure out, you know, how do we put our best foot forward in this first game coming off of this long break. So I think the guys have embraced it, the coaches have embraced it, you know, we put the plan to work, and so now, you know, we've got to keep working and prepare as we get closer and closer to this game, because, you know, we're in the game week here, and that preparation is critical, but having our edge and being ready to win that first quarter is going to be important.
We'll have another comment in just a moment. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at Safelite.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Ren, this will be the third consecutive year you've gone to Arlington, Texas in the Cotton Bowl. Are there some logistical advantages to that?
Yeah, I don't know. For the players, you know, they probably don't know much, you know, other than it's, you know, AT&T and some of the guys who played there last year, I'm sure. It's good vibes, I guess, when you walk in a building. But the stadium's great. You know, we travel well there. You know, it's kind of an easy trip for everybody to get to. You know, the bowl itself is excellent, what they do, and you know, the hotels and then, you know, all that stuff is just very practical. And for us, like, we feel like when we're there, things move smoothly. But the Cotton Bowl is as good as any bowl there is in the country.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota Thon is on, and it's the perfect time to wrap up the year with a new Toyota, like the best-selling Toyota Camry. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Camrys, or lease a new 26 Camry LE for $269 a month for 39 months with $3699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra, call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Looking to.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do we have in the poll today?
The Daily Fan Poll asks, what will be the result of tonight's Cotton Bowl Classic quarterfinal between Ohio State and Miami? Your four options, Buckeyes by one score, Buckeyes by two scores, Buckeyes by three or more scores, or a Hurricanes win. 56% say the Buckeyes are winning by two scores or more.
Okay. All right. It is a massive First Friday. This is as good a First Friday as the First Friday is always the first Friday before Thanksgiving. I don't even know what to call this one. When you're talking about a Buckeye game into New Year's Eve, all of that on a First Friday?
On steroids.
Good grief. Let's hit it.
Worship and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed. Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
Sponsored by Hydrate Me Med Spa. Feel better, recover faster, live optimized with Hydrate Me.
Drink for the wrong reasons.
My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
Reese, those high, those the hydration folks, they're going to be there at like 5 o'clock tomorrow morning to prep us for this show?
I'm pretty sure they'll be open New Year's Day.
We may need it.
Get an IV.
Get them in here.
That'll do you well.
They'll treat us right.
HydrateMeMedSpa.com.
Yeah, they'll take care of us. Listen, I'm going to go regionally inspired on this one. The Buckeyes down in Dallas. So we're going to go follow down that rabbit hole a little bit. We're going to go with Lone Star Beer, which you can get around here. It's a Texas staple. I believe they call it the National Beer of Texas. It's a good, like, cold, old beer that tastes like beer. It's a good one. So we're going to go into that, into a Long Branch, which was the bourbon that McConaughey did with the folks at Wild Turkey. He's no longer associated with them, but the stuff in the bottle still is, and it's a nice change of pace. And as a Texas-inspired First Friday, I recommend both of those. We're going to go with a Long Branch can into, I'm sorry, a Lone Star can into a Long Branch sidecar is the way we're going to kind of play that one out a little bit as you're officially endorsed on this fine First Friday. Time for three things.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Buckeye Lake Marina, Central Ohio's largest selection of new and pre-owned boats. Find your next dream boat at BuckeyeLakeMarina.com.
Oh, man, it's good to be back. Hearing the drums, everything that we need. Number one for me, do you. Be you. I think you built this team for this run. You built this team for climate control. You built this team for a fast track. Let the football Ferrari eat. Go drive the damn thing. I think if you do, Miami can't keep up. Now, I don't know, and I'm not very confident that they're actually going to do this. I'm not sure if they're going to or not. I almost have to see it to believe it. But I do think if you come out and be aggressive and make throws over the middle, make throws down the sidelines, it's going to be very difficult for them to cover your receivers and to be able to get pressure on Julian. So that, to me, this is what this team was built for. Let this team be what it was built for.
First thing for me, much like the Lone Star bottle caps are tough to solve, Ohio State's defense, I think, needs to make it an impossible thing for Carson Beck to try to solve what they're going to do pre-snap. And as soon as that ball gets hiked, a blitz. Blitz all damn day, because Carson Beck is so much worse when he is pressured. So if you put the clamps on him early, it's going to be a fun night in Dallas for the Buckeyes.
First thing for me, I want to see that offensive line that we saw against that team up north at the end of November. Still don't know what they're going to do at the right guard spot, but Josh Padilla and Gabe Van Sickle have both gotten enough time this year that I think they will be fine. I need that mean, nasty offensive line that we saw just a little while ago.
Yeah, certainly do knew that. Number two for me, I just think that as much as this talk has been about Miami's defensive line, and Reese, you alluded to this, I think it's on the Buckeye defensive line, but I think it's most especially, I think it's unleash Arvell. He wears number 8, in case you don't realize it. I think he is going to be a headache for Carson Beck, a headache for their pass protection. He's had a quiet, kind of had a quiet last month of the season. I think you turn that back up to 11 tonight. I think a big game is coming from Arvell Reese. This is the type of quarterback that he ought to be able to feast on. You don't need to spy him. You can pin your ears back and go, let's go eat, especially with number 8.
Second thing for me is make your kicks and practice good special teams fundamentals. That's one way I could see Miami getting back into this if Ohio State's not able to convert on points when they get into the red area.
Yeah.
And maybe a kick or a punt return sets up the Canes for decent scoring opportunities.
Second thing for me, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but blanket Malachi Toney. I don't know if it's Caleb Downs. I don't know if it's Jermaine Matthews, but have a spy on him at all time, an extra guy. He's the only guy on their offense that can beat you, so make sure you take him out of the equation.
Yeah, if you go back to the old Belichick ways, and I'm not sure if Patricia will do this or not tonight, but the old Belichick ways in the NFL is if you had a Malachi Toney type, you would single cover him and then give up nothing to anybody else and say, that one guy alone can't beat us. And that's the way that they did it in New England. We'll see if Patricia does that tonight and what the plan is for that. Just based on what we've seen from this team, and this is number 3 for me, I do think that this is a get points every time you can game. I don't think that you want to go into the red area and come away empty handed. That gives them way too much momentum. I know that analytics tell you get the six, it's worth more than the threes, and we get all of that, and I understand the percentages, but I just think you can break this team early if every possession ends in a score, a kick or an extra point, either way. And I think that also makes it so Fielding's first kicks aren't the ones that decide the game. Let's kick some early so that he has a little bit of a muscle memory for it, and get some points on the board when you're in the red zone. Don't leave the red zone empty-handed.
Final thing for me is win the turnover battle. Not since October 18th has Ohio State won the turnover battle in a game. And that was against Wisconsin at Camp Randall. So this has to be that tonight. If you're going to resummit college football's mountaintop, they're going to have to be one or two games in this playoff run where you win the turnover battle. Not just equalize it, win it.
Final thing for me, and Bo, it's a lot like your first thing here. Let it rip, guys. Mm-hmm. Four's healthy, 17's healthy, 25, he isn't a freshman anymore, 86 is there, ready to eat a little bit, 1 and 5, they're ready to go, just in case. Let's go ahead and let's tromp on the gas. If you do that, I have a feeling that you could win this game somewhere like the Tennessee game last year, a 41-17 type game. I'm not so confident that they do that, Bo, because I think they know they can win this game playing the way they did all season. Plus, it's a lot easier to take those risks when you're calling plays and you're not the head coach. Mm-hmm. You're a little more close to the vest sometimes then. I get the feeling this is a Washington-type game. And the score, I've got Ohio State winning 27-10 tonight.
Miami's defense makes me nervous. But I think Ohio State makes this a comfortable game in the fourth quarter. And I don't think you have to rely on the foot of Jaden Fielding to get you through to the college football playoff semifinal. I've got Ohio State winning 17-7. Pay attention to the scores.
Ooh, just on it. Yeah, we're all in the same boat. I got it 24-10. I don't think we're going to see yet all of this because I don't think it's going to be required. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 24-17 though either. I do think it's going to be one that is still in play as we get into the fourth. This is a real treat. It's rare that I get to do this. Man and Timmy coming up next. We're back tomorrow to break it all down. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray. The Fan.
Chronic pain.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.